Thank you. Kind of got me by surprise. I'm going over and over and over the notes to see I didn't put down the wrong scripture. I found I put one down wrong last night, and it would have been kind of hard to catch Revelation 22 out of Revelation 21. And I'd have been about so lost by that time, I'd have got everybody confused, and I'm confused enough now. Well, good morning. I'm just sort of talking to myself, explaining a few things, and I had a little talk with Brother Brown the other night, and I said, I'm interested to see what happens on Friday night, because Thursday was so good. I wonder if Friday's going to be anticlimax. Well, the old boy rose to the occasion, fooled me. And I thought, well, I guess we ought to close while we got a good chance, while the thing's in a high tide. I suggested that we have some songs and some testimonies and a hallelujah march and just feel good, but I couldn't get him to take me up on it, so if I fall flat in my face this morning, at least you had some good preaching during the night services. That's good. And, sir, I do appreciate Brother Brown. We're not here to scratch each other's back, although I don't mind doing that either. I don't say anything wrong with being nice to people and nice to you, although I do believe we should be nice to everybody regardless. But I've enjoyed the services immensely. I thought that was a fantastic commentary on the test of jealousy, the jealous husband. I got as far as seeing the test of jealousy, but I've never gone into it. When you get there of the vials, the bowls, that's absolutely the word of God. I don't need that illustration for 15 split seconds, because the scripture doesn't say that she died. It said the thigh rot of the belly swelled, and during that time, because of her wickedness, remember, that's that rotten church that's going to really get it. They'll look for death and won't find it. I thought everything was just truly fantastic. I enjoyed the ministries, the other brethren, and so now I'm unhappy myself to see the meeting close, but I'm going to stick around and see if anything else might happen. I'll be preaching for Brother Gunther on Wednesday. I was going to go over to Herschel on Thursday, but I'm not in any rush to get to Edmonton, just in case I have a good time here, which I intend to. So what I'm going to do, I just don't like people traveling. I can't buy it. They're busy. They're hard-pressed for time. I got a letter from Europe, and they said, Brother Vail will come. I said, you won't come nowhere for me. I said, I'll go to you. Don't worry about a meeting. I'll go where the twos are, the threes are. There's nobody there. Fine, I won't go. But you will not come where I am. I will go where you are. So what I'm saying is this long, circuitous way of telling you, you folk in Herschel, I will come to you next, not this Tuesday, a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, I hope you might come over Sunday if you feel like it. If you don't, stay home. In the meantime, stay home, take care of your pea patch and your health, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So I'll be over Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that'll be very nice for me. Might not be for you, but I'm going to enjoy myself coming over Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'll get to Edmonton on Friday to start there on a Sunday with Brother Paul Bird, Sunday and Wednesday, and then with Brother Terry, Friday and a Sunday. And so that's it. I took care of myself nicely, and hopefully we will go to the Word of the Lord and see in there the things of God. Now, I trust this message will be a blessing to you. It's a little different, I would think, from what I usually bring, and it can be taken wrong. Now, I'm going to warn you right off the bat. If you don't listen real sharp, to understand what I'm saying, you just could possibly take something a little wrong. But if you catch what I'm driving at, it'll do us all good, a lot of good. Because, you see, much of my ministry is based upon moving around the country. And sometimes it's on purpose and sometimes inadvertently. I find various things that are obtaining that are not consistent with the spirit of Brother Branham. I have no criticism with what anybody says in their quotes, but I have very severe criticism myself, and many times others, sometimes it goes to literally whole groups, because the spirit is not the spirit of Brother Branham. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to gild the lily. I was with him too long, too many years. And let me tell you frankly, Brother Branham did not take anybody aside and lecture them. He never said, "Now, Lee, I'm going to tell you how we operate." He expected me to watch him and follow in his footsteps. Now, I wasn't good at it. Because, see, I was born in Canada, and I'm not trying to excuse myself and make myself so one with you that we're going to kind of, you know, feel nice about it. But I'm a conservative, being born a Canadian. Marriage and divorce and those things leave me colder than a cucumber. I'm not saying it hasn't happened and God can be in a lot of it. I've changed quite a bit. But there are certain principles you don't fool with, in my estimation. And one is, when you are out in the ministry, you better be honest. Don't you pull gimmicks. When I was with Brother Branham, they'd put Branham Veil Campaign. I said, "Who told you to put my name there? Take it down." "Well," they said, "it's a Branham Veil Campaign." I said, "It is not. It is a Branham Campaign." And I meant it. It wasn't because I felt my ministry was so lousy, because it wasn't. It was beneficial. But it was Brother Branham, not Veil. It was Branham. Now, that's how I stand. So when we found a lot of things going on in meetings that were downright crooked, well, I just blew my stack. And I went to Brother Branham with his permission. We almost pulled an entire series of meetings out of New England because of a man that was wrong. Now, you know something? Brother Branham, when I went, gave me the full response. He said, "Lee, if you can't take it, pull the meetings." So I called the fellow, supposed to be over the fellow doing all this monkey work. And when he tried to give Billy and me the raspberry, well, my conservatism did not go to a controlled temper. He got told like he should have been told. And he found out, "You don't fool with me." But that's not Brother Brand's way of doing things. Take it all, who cares? If they rob you blind, so what? You're not really robbed blind, they're blind. Now, he didn't tell you, "Now, here's I want a thing done." He expected you to catch the spirit of how he did it. And that fella had a fantastic spirit. And it wasn't all the Spirit of God, because he told us that new spirit that God gave us in Ezekiel was not the Holy Spirit. It was a spirit that God gave you above your own in order to welcome the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. We are human, by way of apologizing for the race. We invite people to our homes and we have a good spirit. And later on, they wear out the welcome mat and the good spirit goes. That's not the Holy Ghost. Spirit that he gives us to welcome him. The real welcoming spirit that God gives us to welcome the Holy Spirit never ceases to welcome the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do for us, right? Enough said. I guess we'll all go home and pray for a month over that one. Yeah. Now, the other day, I made a little statement, and sometimes people think I'm mad, but I'm not really. I know the old trick of pedagogy. You make them laugh, or you hit them so hard they're afraid to forget. And sometimes I employ one or the other. And much to my sorrow, I sometimes employ the club tactic instead of the funny tactics. But I made a statement based on what I had already taught in two lengthy messages on priorities, about literally doing things consciously and in premeditation. You know, we talk too much of the slip of the tongue that didn't mean to do it. And I'll buy that. There's a lot of things I didn't mean to do, but I did them. There's a lot of things I didn't mean to do, and I did them. And there's a lot of things I should have meant to do and didn't do it. That's what I'm talking about. So I mentioned a glass of cold water Of course it could be an illustration. So that if you did something as unto the Lord, it could be symbolized in giving a person a glass of water. But I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about, in the light of the Word of God, have you ever honestly, conscientiously, when the time come and some brother or sister's in your house and they want a glass of water for their heart to leap, this is my brother or sister, I'll give that glass of cold water. Now, where does it lead to? It leads to this welcoming spirit where perhaps someone keeps coming along. And women usually are very good at this, and my wife is just too good at it. She's almost too hospitable until she doesn't know I'm around. And that's about the truth, and we have a little problem every now and then, and there's no use, you know. But it's a good quality. But, you know, there comes times when people come in our homes, as the Bible said, you know, keep your foot off your neighbor's doorstep, and they should become a problem. But it doesn't. I'm not talking about somebody coming and wearying them all the time. I'm talking about the fact when you're sort of caught by surprise and you're not prepared. You see what I'm trying to show you? If we don't start somewhere to really begin to practice conscientiously the Word of God, we will not qualify in the surprise moments. And thereby we'll lose so much. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. Israel was a theocracy. They were supposed to be ruled and reigned entirely by God through the pillar of fire, meeting with a prophet. They got into problems by going to a king. But they're still a theocracy. God put a man like David upon the throne as an example. Now, the theocracy of Israel was operating under Rome, which is the fourth empire, which is the only empire. After number three, there are no more. We also are a theocracy under the Roman Empire. Now, Israel was to do its best to steadfastly put God first in all its precepts, even though it was living under another kingdom. Now, we are also to put into practice every precept. As they said, phylacteries, the Word of God written in a box and bound on the forehead between the eyes so that always we see the Word of God. Upon our wrists, so always doing the work of God. Upon the ankles, bearing the Word of God. And then the Word comes and says, hide them in your heart so that mind and motivation has one principle, which is always the Word of God. Now, brother, sister, look, I'm not up here fooling with you. I'm telling you what I should have known years ago and been practicing for at least 40 years. Now, you do what you want, but that's what I was aiming at in these messages on priorities. Because I'm not here to club you. I'm not your pastor. I come and I go. And the seed that falls in your heart is the same seed that falls in my heart. Because Moses had to live by the same word he brought to the people. You show me where Moses ate anything but manna the way the people did. You don't have a hidebound priesthood or some type of hierarchy. As Brother Bob said the other day, mentioning a few guys, and I won't mention who he mentioned by mention, because it could be known, you know, names get across America. But he said, Lee, in the old days, the big shots came in, ate the steaks, and played golf. But the little unknown fellas up there pounding the altar before God day and night. And any success then that came with the big shots was because the little shots. See? Now, we just can't be in that category of coming in like, you know, tutors and preachers and teachers and just stand up and do our little exercise and, you know, hallelujah, we did it. We should be noticed and go out and play golf and eat steaks. Nothing doing. What the congregation eats, we eat. What the congregation does, we do. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, I stand here and us apostles as an example put through the mill. Going through the problems of life, showing you that you do it too. Now, if you go to your Bible, I've been trying to preach this, in simplicity.
you are going to find that every single word in this Bible is a premeditated word. First of all, it is God's premeditated word. Then it's the word you're to meditate upon. So therefore, it's a premeditated word you and makes your actions, right? Now, that's what I was trying to say the other day.
Oh, that took a lot of energy out of me to get this round. But you know what? If you don't do it, it's lost on you. Your pastor will not ride herd on you. I will not ride herd on you. And the Holy Ghost, being dove-like, will not ride herd on you. You are going to have to see that there are things that you should do and you do them. Brother Branham said, if your heart is cold, you must get before God till the heart warms up. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you've got cold hands and cold feet, you might have to go to a doctor. But he can't do one thing for a cold heart. And neither can God. It's you. Because you must act, then God will act. Because you see, God has already acted by calling in the sheep. Now, from then on, we as sheep must come under his voice. We hear the voice and we follow. So what I'm trying to do is to inculcate into all of us, before it is too late, the profound entering into the last moments of labor, the laying up of treasures before it's too late. Now, I know we hear stories, and our brother Branham told the story. It's a cute story. It's a good story about the old black brother that after many, many years of serving the Lord died, and he got up there, and they said, hey, we want to come ashore your treasures. I don't want to hear nothing about crowns and treasures. Show me him. Now, that sounds very good. Oh, sounds beautiful. But if you run with it, you're going to run yourself plumb out of the ballpark. Because he wants you and me to come there. Paul warns us, don't let somebody take your crown. Don't get up there empty-handed. Why, so no matter what you put down here or lose here, you'll get it all back and then some. And just let me tell you something. He said, I know you're sacrificing, but I got news for you. He said, there isn't one person left anybody or anything or did anything. But I'm going to guarantee it right here in this life and a thousandfold in the life to come. Now, do we despise the riches and goodness of God? No, I hope not. So I hope you were seeing what I was trying to do in the 2.5 messages out of 5, which maybe hopefully we'll cover before I get away. Now, this is kind of weird because I'm going to have to rearrange my whole brain to talk about what I got in mind this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, your grace and your wisdom is so infinite in simplicity and in brevity that you can really help this morning to put this message across exactly right in a shorter way, Lord, than looks like I'm going to be able to do it. And keep the lips, Lord, from saying anything that would be misunderstood. Hopefully, Lord, that prayer can be answered. If you were misunderstood, I sure am not above you. But anyway, hopefully, Lord, that we'll come together in our thinking and our ways in a good spirit, in a good way. And we'll be edified. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The message is a funny one. Peculiar. It is called the ones in between. Not a squeeze now. Just the ones in between. And nobody knows a thing about them except some cults and the bride. And sometimes the bride doesn't know too much about them. Now, Brother Branham rightly said there are three kinds of believers. Unbeliever, make-believer, true believer. And as we view the church, we see that is perfectly right. The unbeliever snorts and walks off from the revealed and manifested word and says, ha! Ain't nothing to it. Forget it. The make-believer sticks around and pretends he believes, but he needles away at the truth, waits to find fault, to destroy faith. And when something strikes him just right in criticism, like the water spider and the turtle, because he's not a real fish, he wanders back and said, ha!
A bunch of bird hypocrites.
Hey?
Then there's the real believer, the one that takes the word and revels in it. When he is stuck for an answer, he believes it anyway. He just says, well, who knows everything anyway? No problem. His mind is never a question mark. His mind is an exclamation mark of delight, a period of approval. See? Now, as long as the Gentile church age is functioning, these three groups will be around. But, after time has all but run out, and the white throne is set up, in the second resurrection, there appears three more groups. One, there is the Christ-headed group, who is the bride, in the throne, judging with Jesus. These are actually few. They are few when compared to the millions of people who have lived on this earth for 6,000 years. But they're a lot when you see them. Now, there is a vast multitude, purely one with the devil, who go to the lake of fire. I believe they're serpent seed because they're cursed. And they are to go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And Brother Branham does equate these people, serpent seed, to being inhabited by fallen angels. I will not carry that very far because it puts too much turmoil in my thinking. I'll just take the statement and say, sounds good, hallelujah, let her go. Right? All right. There is a goodly throng who pass through the judgment. And because of such as attitudes of mercy and so on toward others, one, they are shown mercy. Two, they are proclaimed to be righteous. Three, they enter into eternal life. Now that's right. We're going to go to Matthew 25 and take a look at them. 31 to 46, and oh, there's nobody but us understands these things. And I care, you know, I don't mind if nobody understands, as long as we understand. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, that's all tribes, all genealogies, all coming right down, all those Gentiles, the whole bit. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. And he'll set the sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. Then shall the king send them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, they gave me meat, thirsty, gave me drink, a stranger took me in, naked clothed me, sick visited me, in prison came to me, and the righteous shall answer, saying, Lord, when do we see thee hungered, fed thee, thirsty, gave thee drink, stranger took me in, naked clothed thee? When we see a sick and in prison and came to you, and the king shall answer, send it in as verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of the one of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. Now that lets you know how important, my brother sister, it is to do things in the name of Jesus, like I've been trying to impress upon our hearts. The deliberate doing, because they didn't even know they were doing this. See? It puts you in a pattern, in a trend. Well, here's bound to be something laid up. Looks laid up for them. He'll say to them on their left hand, depart me, you cursed, an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me to meat, thirsty, I got in a drink, stranger, took me not in, naked, no clothing, sick in prison, didn't come to see me. Then they'll say, Lord, when we saw thee hungry, thirsty, and sick, or no stranger, naked, sick in prison, and did not minister, and I'll answer, say, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of least these, you did it not to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now remember, brother, sister, if you're born again, you've already got eternal life, then you cannot be in a judgment. So we got a whole great big group here that nobody wants to pay any attention to. So they shuffled off with the Gabelines and the Beater Wolves and the rest of those old time, dear sweet old scholars. And they say, well, that's when Jesus come back and judge the nations. That's a bunch of hogwash. It's a great white throne judgment, as the prophet of God said. Now, let's check out this most intimate description of white throne judgment by other scripture. And here we're going to try to go fast by the help of the Lord. And may it be brief, so we get it all covered. We say Daniel 7, 7 to 14. After this of the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceeding, great iron teeth, devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. In other words, it tells you flat that no great kingdom of power on earth is like this last fellow. And remember, he's the fourth and the last, and he continues right now. Listen, I consider the horns, And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now notice, now you can tell right there we're getting to Antichrist. Now I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth before him, thousands, thousands, and ministered unto him. Right. And thousands times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books open. They're going to get judged, right? And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given the burning flame. Now you can tell right there he's talking about the aftermath of the great tribulation, the great white throne, and the final complete judgment. Now it says, as this is interpolation, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now he's simply telling you right there that these other nations just don't matter. It's the last nation that matters. Now, in reading to verse 14 still, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him, and his dominion is everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Now we know there's an interruption of the millennium. And we know that the earth is dissolved. But here, nothing like that happened. I believe this is the eternality of eternalities. When the new heavens and new earth come, and we're there in New Jerusalem. All right. 21 and 22. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Tells you right there. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Now, 26 and 27. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the dominion, kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Now notice it says right here that that kingdom of people is absolutely one with the leader. And it says once they start ruling in the millennium, there's never any end. The millennium can go, the earth can dissolve, but that kingdom goes on. Come right back here in a new form. See? Now, let's just take a peek at Revelation 19. We're going to go back and forth to Romans. Maybe I can just put a little marker here in Daniel, and we'll swing back and forth, hopefully. Revelation 19. 17 to 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and both small and great. Of course, that's, we have the wedding supper, they got this. And I saw the beast and kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Of course, that goes back in Revelation 19 here where he comes to take over thus. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Now remember, there's an image right back there in Daniel. And you got a continuation right here. And the image is unto a holy man. And the image unto the holy man worship, their power comes from the state. Exactly as Nicaea. Which is Rome, which is Babylon brought to Nicaea, which is brought here. We'll talk about it later. They were cast alive in the lake of a fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which a sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls which were filled with their flesh. Now, with that in mind, we should swing right back to Daniel again, the 7th chapter, and look at that 8th verse. And I consider the horns, and behold, they come up among them another little horn, from whom... Before whom these three of the first horn, three horns, with three of the first horns plucked up with the roots, and behold, in this horn, rise like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And the 11th verse, and I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given the burning flame. That's exactly what it says in Revelation. There's no difference. Now, notice about verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they have dominion, their dominion taken away and their lives prolonged. That's simply parenthetical. He goes back and he says, look, those dominions were not wiped out like that. They ran their course of history, but they're gone. But this fourth empire never ceases. until it ends with the Antichrist, who is destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon, summarily thrown into the lake of fire, period. Now, that's what Revelation says. That's what Daniel says. Now, also, we go back again to Revelation 19. 11 and 16, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteous, and he to judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire. On his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the bride coming back. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with it. He shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress, and fierce the wrath of Almighty God. Now notice when the rod of iron takes place. See, everybody's got that white throne judgment all mixed up. And this. They think that Jesus is a despotic creature while children are born, and by the end of the millennium, everybody hates Jesus. Then he crushes them. It isn't so. It's at Armageddon the rod of iron takes place. Follow the tape, Brother Banner says it. And that's what we crush with him. People don't like to think the bride's going to do it. Man says he believes his message down in North Carolina. He says his face went white when I brought this out. Where's he been? You think we're not coming with him? Church ages tell you. Rule the rod of iron. That's why the Bible says, give way to wrath. No matter what happens, give way to wrath. So well, that means I get mad and take up. No! You wait for this day. Not making you vengeful or mean or wicked. Just said, okay, do what you want. That's fine. Go to your own. Goodbye, Charlie. Fine. You got to wait for this day. See? Now, 16th verse. His mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword and so on. And he hath his vesture on his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's king, and we're and Lord, and we're kings and priests with him. We are all part of it. Now, just hold your finger there in the good old Revelation, and see if we can get back to Daniel again. And we go to 7, 13, and 14. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven, and came to the ancient days. They brought him near before him. He was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Starting right here on earth, going right to eternity. No way out. Now, we're going to read to Revelation 20, 1 to 6. Now, just keep in mind what we're talking about. We're talking about an in-between group of people. The in-betweeners. There's the bride. And there's those that go to the lake of fire. But there's a whole lot of people that hardly anybody knows anything about. Except for the prophet, I wouldn't just turn my back and walk off and say, forget it. But he revealed all the mysteries, so let's see what we can find out. Now, Revelation 21 to 6. And I saw an angel come down heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, even Satan bound for 1,000 years. Cast him up, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him. He should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now it tells you flat, there's going to be millennial reign for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ and the bride. And that's what Brother Branham said, the woman interrupted it. Now, after the interruption is over, we've got back to the millennium, the manifestation of the sons of God. They're ruling and reigning and everything is perfect. But it says after that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed. See? And the people coming up will be in the white, will be in that bunch of the white children. He explains it. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years are finished. There's your first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that's got part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they're priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's very good. Now, with that, we just take a little peek at 1 Corinthians. Now, I know I'm going fast, but I'm sure you can understand. I understand. I'm sure not too bright, so. Listen. 1 Corinthians 6, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know the saints shall judge the world? Now you can't do it now, because you got to give place for rent. See? Here's a priority. And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters among you? Here's another priority. Know you not that you should judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you then have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to shame. Is it so there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brother. But brother goes to law with brother and that before the unbeliever. Now he said, look, you've already got in you what it takes to set the whole world right in judgment. And he said, you're going to stand back and tell me you can't get amongst yourself and settle problems in the church? Huh? Now there's a priority. Who wants to do it? Nobody. Too much fun fighting. Huh? How many of you folk right today will bypass the word of God to have your own way? Don't raise your hands. I can count on my first joint. I'm not being too tough. But, and I love you, and I think there's a lot of consecration here when you put it all together. But we haven't learned the despotic nature of God who says, this is it. And he said, I didn't ask you any counsel. I'm telling you. And remember, this is Laodicea who says, hogwash you. I ain't going to be told. I got my rights. You ain't got no rights. Because Jesus died and bought you. So therefore, he owns the wicked and he owns the righteous, and he can do what he wants and he'll do it. When he makes a statement like that, he wants a bunch of yes men. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's right, Lord. Amen, Lord. That's right, Lord. God's people are yes men. Yes, women too. They do through the husband. Now, specifically says right here that there, if the saints are going to judge the world, they are going to rule that world. Revelation 3:21 is a promise to one of the church ages, which is specifically ours, and it says to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am have overcome and am set with my Father in his throne. The throne of what? Ruling and reigning in the millennium, then the judgment seat. The white throne judgment. Don't get that word judgment seat, and that's the bema, and people misunderstand it. Now, we go to see John 5:24-27. Because we want to trace these people right down pat. And I've got a couple surprises for you. Because it sure surprised me. The word of the Lord is beautiful. If you want surprises, don't stand behind the door and expect us to go boo, or boo to him. Get in your Bible. 5:24-27. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now that's talking about your everlasting life in conjunction with the messenger. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death in unto life. Now those that I spoke of in Daniel Revelation, or rather Matthew 25, they're going to get it there. They haven't got it here. See? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, marvel not. Reading not. Elevated. He said it's, what do you say, all the germs are knocked off. I don't even know why they have to be, but thank God they're gone. Hope mosquitoes are gone too. I'm happy for anything the prophet did. At least without their stingers. I just wouldn't take a chance on those rascals if something happened to them. It's good. You know? Now, in other words, nature's going to have its change. See? Now, they're going to come forth. And with it, we can now see Revelation chapter 20, 11-15. So we're going to go back to Revelation 20 and proceed where we left off. 11-15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now that doesn't mean that took place right off the bat. That's the consequence of it. Because I'll tell you flat, if the earth fell away, where are these other guys going to stand? The consequence after the white throne is all over. The die is finally cast. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book opened, which was just a book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And that's exactly Matthew 25. Exactly Daniel. The sea gave up the dead, and then death and hell delivered up the dead in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell cast the lake of fire, just the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. If your name wasn't in the book of life, it means there was some kind of life that interposed itself into the human race that shouldn't be there. And if you can find Cain's name in the genealogy, all eat it. There's a bunch of people whose names are not in a book, period. See? And they got a record against them. But there's a lot of folk up there whose names are in the book, and they've got a record. And it puts them in a certain status. Now, did I read 15? Yeah. Okay. Revelation 21, 1 to 2. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. Now this follows a great white throne. You've got this bride, you've got the separated people, you've got the serpent seed, cast the lake of fire. Now what's going to happen? 9 and 10, same chapter. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked to me saying, come hither, I'm going to show the bride, the Lamb's wife. That sure must have been something John saw. He was sure lucky. Wasn't that one lucky fellow? He one predestinated fellow. Now, he carried me away in the spirit. And that's the only place you can get to see this kind of beautiful thing too. To a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. You know, that must have just floored him. I've seen some pretty sights that just make me melt. You know, Brother Branham talked about numbers and birth paths. I'm a seven. You know, seven feels things very deeply. I couldn't paint a picture. I look at nature and I just turn to water inside. I love good food. I gobble it. You think I'm like a dog, don't taste it. You're wrong. That taste is always down. It's just so good down here. I bet you beat a hog. It's yummy, yummy here and twice as yummy down here. See? Oh, my. What John must have felt like. See? In awe. To see this tremendous phenomenon coming down heaven, having the glory of God. I don't even know what that is. But I'm part of that bride. I recognize it. I got to be part of something because I sure recognize a lot of things so far. That makes me feel good. Her light was under this like a stone of most precious, even like a jasper stone and clear as crystal, and so on. Now, 23 and 27. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of the Lord God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. But that's a people! So there's a whole lot of people around it! Huh? What is the sword in the soul? You with me? Well, you're still back in dead old Pentecost. Well, bless God. No such thing as second chance. That's right. There's no second chance. The judgment only tells what is. Doesn't change anything. Huh? I'm reading the book. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I like it. This tickled me plum pink. You know, my nephew's British Israel. Poor kid. The worst kind. Garner Ted and Papa. She. Anybody that reads that man's life and can't tell that he's none but a super salesman? He's a sucker for anything. I could sell him the Brooklyn Bridge and the choicest lots on the moon if he had the money to buy them. Yeah. You know, his eyes boggled when he found out that I didn't believe everybody went to hell but me and one of my friends. I said, Gary, there's millions coming up in the white throne that'll be go marching in and they'll stand around the new Jerusalem. He said, I didn't know you believed that. But he wouldn't take the tapes. No.
He'd sooner go where they cut a rug and jive and dance and commit adultery, though he's so crippled he can't, thank God. Well, the Lord will get a hold of his heart one day. Devil's got it temporarily. But anyway, that's the devil's right, temporary. He ain't permanent himself. Glory to God. Listen, the nations of them that are saved, you've not born again, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Woo, man, what a place to be. Have you ever wanted to be somebody? Then be nobody. Until you're somebody with him. You see why he can't stand leadership and boasting and all this clowning and stuff? Oh, God. If I can't make it on him alone, I don't even want to be near it. The gates of it shall not shut at all by day, and there'll be no night there. Oh, there's going to be so much going on for those billions of years, you wouldn't have time to sleep. And then you see, if you weren't so constituted, you'd get so nervous you couldn't sleep. Because things are going on, you can't miss it. Man. And these people on the outside, oh, listen, they just love what's on the inside because they're going to be happy on the outside because of what's on the inside. Amen. Huh? I'm not kidding you. You just haven't listened to the prophet, maybe. I don't know if I did either, but I sure hope I got it right because I like what I'm saying. What I'm reading, anyway. There shall in no wise enter it anything that defileth. Nor anything that worketh abomination. No slacks. Ha, ha, ha. You gals, you like your slacks. Ain't no use you trying to get there, kid. You shot your wad. Short hair. Boy. Just stick around here, baby, because you ain't going to make it. Or make it the lie. Some people even tell lies for the glory of God. Knew a guy years ago, preached in our area back there in British Columbia. One time my wife caught him in a lie. She said, how can you tell lies? Well, he said, it builds your faith, doesn't it? Oh, God, if I had to build your faith this morning on a lie. If you didn't cut my throat for me, I'd cut my throat for me. I would sooner die. Oh, lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tells you right there, you've got to be in that complete line. Now, no one can enter the city save the bride, for she is the city. The others bring their glory only. In other words, they cannot have the permanent part. They can enjoy. I understand by Scripture, come and go. But they must remain on the outside, literally. Now, you can see, I hope, what I'm talking about. There is a vast throng of subjects of the bride and groom in that future kingdom. I believe they are over here in Revelation 7:4. This is part of it. And I heard a number of them sealed. There were 144,000, 12,000 out of each 12 tribes. Going to verse 9. And then I behold a great multitude which no man could number all nations. Then, of course, that means tribes like the heathen, what have you. All your genealogy is going to get traced back. You know, everybody wants to know family tree today and roots. It's because they know shortly everybody's roots are going to be traced back. And you'll get traced right back to Cain, or right back to Abraham, right back to Adam, right back. You'll know your genealogy. Brother Brad said that old hybrid out there doesn't know his mammy and pappy, but the third bread sure does. See? Now, reading. I stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms and hands, and cried a loud voice, saying, salvation our God that sits upon the throne under the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne about the four elders and beasts, and fell upon their faces before the throne, worshiped God, saying, blessed and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever. Amen. One of the elders answered me and said, what are those arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said, sir, I don't know, but you know, tell me. The other days that came out of great tribulation made the robes white, and it made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Washed those made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Now here, there's a temple and they're before him. Now I don't understand that. It could be millennium. It could be something after the millennium. Because over a little later on, we read where we saw there was no temple in New Jerusalem.
But you notice here, there's somebody before the throne. Now, you want to put it down bright, you can't. I don't care what you put it. I'm trying to show you here that there is a great multitude. There's bride, 144,000. That's all I'm trying to show you. There's a whole vast multitude that hunger no more, thirst no more. The light sun won't shine them, nor any heat. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into everlasting fountains of water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, I know when God wipes away all tears from their eyes, that is when the all remembrance of the past is wiped out. That would come sometime after the white throne judgment and New Jerusalem, maybe in New Jerusalem. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not a prophet. But I know those things are going to happen, see? Now, verse 15, read again. Therefore they shall be before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Now I want to go with that to Revelation 21, 9 to 11. I hope I read the right part in here. I got verses 9 to 17, didn't I? That's 7 chapter to get enough of me, see. To make sure I got enough verses in here. Yep. I got enough verses. Read them all. And I read verse 15 and go back to 21 now. We go 9 to 11. And it says, which I read you already, there came to me one of the 7 angels having 7 vials full of 7 last plagues. He talked me, saying, I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried away the spirit in a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending from out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the light was like a stone most precious, like jasper, and so on. And then we go down to 22 and 27 again. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple. That's what I said a while ago. I'm not trying to distinguish between ages and places. I'm just trying to show that there are people that were not in the bride. They came up with a second resurrection and are given eternal life, are placed outside the city, and there's a tremendous, tremendous kingdom that never ends. As Brother Branham said, New Jerusalem jumped out upon Mount Zion, 1,500 miles square pyramidal figure. Over the top is the Lamb at the throne, and then there is the pillar of fire above him. Now all the rest is going to be on the outside. Now the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. Kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. See? Bunch on the outside coming in. Gates won't be shut by day or night. Going to be no night there. They'll bring their glory and honor to the nations into it. And they're going to be nothing but absolute tyranny. Glory to God. Amen. Now, notice in Revelation chapter 14. Verses 1 to 5. And I looked and saw a Lamb stood in Mount Zion. There's 144,000 having his Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers, and harping with harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beast and elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. And these are they which were not defiled with women for their virgins. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now notice, that's the 144,000 sealed Jews. They're virgins. That means that literally, Brother Branham said, the virgin and a male is a eunuch. And a eunuch is the bridal keeper. So therefore, the 144,000 either do not die and are changed the same as we are and put in the millennium, or they do die and they're raised because they're part of the first resurrection. Now you do what you want about it. Here's another part of the first resurrection. Just like the rapture is a part of the first resurrection. Now, they take care of the bride as the bride takes care of the groom. That's the millennium. They're a first fruit. And they're redeemed. So there you are. You got a bride. You got her attendants. You got a bunch to come in later. You got a tremendous group. You got four beasts. You got elders. You got archangels and angels. You have a fantastic setup here. Dealing perhaps with millions and multiplied millions of people. Now, see, the bridegroom and bride is in the throne. The eunuchs attend the bride as the bride attends the groom. All the rest are round about. It seems like the original 12 tribes numbered around 13. Here's the ark with the great priesthood under the glory of God, and all the rest are serving while they all worship God. Now, that's a picture to me. I don't know what you think, but that's what I see in the Scripture here. Now, I want to just start getting to one something I have in mind about these in-betweeners, who are not bride and neither reprobate. I can only see one place for them. That's what I read over here in Matthew 25, 1 to 3. Then shall the king have me likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, careless. 5 were wise, and 5 were careless, foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, hope I got a little thing here. This is not too clear, but it's the best I get my hands on in a hurry. Watch, look at this. My, broke the seals, revealed the mysteries, revealed them where? In the last church age, the only ones are sleeping, the rest of them sleeping. He said if he comes in the first watch, second watch, third watch, down to seventh watch, and the seventh watch they run under command or call, behold, the bridegroom comes. And when they did all the sleeping virgins, the nominal churches said, oh, you know, I believe I'd like to have the Holy Ghost. Have you noticed the Presbyterians, Episcopalians? Did you hear my message in Phoenix? Said that man who stood up there and the voice there saying, well, what's the matter with this author saying, Holy Father so-and-so, when the Bible said, call no man father. See, they're sleeping with them. And that's the reason. And when they come forth, they say, yeah, we believe. A woman just called. Another woman said, you know, I'm an Episcopalian. Said, I spoke in tongues the other day. I believe I received the Holy Ghost. But, you know, don't tell anybody. I doubt that very much. You might have spoke with tongues, but set a man on fire. How's he going to sit still? Can't do it. Could you imagine Peter, James, and John and those up in the upper room saying, well, we got the Holy Ghost, but now maybe we better keep still about it? Brother, through windows, doors, and everything, they went out in the streets acting like a bunch of drunks. That's what the Holy Ghost. But you see, the sleeping virgins isn't receiving nothing anyhow. That's right. And remember, while they went to try to buy oil, remember, the Scriptures doesn't say they got it. But while they were out trying to buy it, there came a sound in heaven. All those virgins have slept and trimmed their lamps and went in the supper. Is that right? And the rest were left for the tribulation. Right. Weeping, wailing, gnashing teeth. That's the church, not the bride. The church. The bride went in. There's a whole difference between the church and bride. Yes, sir. Went to the wedding supper. Now, so, we see something there. Now, notice, two sets of virgins, but only one goes to the supper. Who are they that go in? Well, we're going to find out who goes in. 2 Corinthians 11, Brother Bob dealt with this, so we won't have to take too long. We just make the comment, what makes them virgins, see? 2 Corinthians 11, and it's right here. It's just too bad I can't hit it, hurry. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with me. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now it says right here that the wise virgin is one with the Word, and nobody fools her about the Word. She sticks with the Word, adds nothing, loses nothing, changes nothing. Now, I'm going to stop right here and tell you something. Everybody says, say what the prophet said. I agree with you. Don't add a word. I agree with you. Don't take a word. I agree with you. The other day, I was listening around some tapes, reading some books, and I found where Brother Branham, he wasn't saying just add a word or take a word. He's saying don't change it. I've known for a long time I could add a word and not change it. I know for a long time I could take away a word and not change it. It's the changing of it, brother, sister. It's the changing of it. People get so scared. See? They get so scared. What are you scared of? Say what he said in your own way in the sense you understand and all. And don't try to change it. I'm doing my best to stay right with what the prophet taught because he said Matthew 25 was the white throne. And if he said it's the white throne, I don't care what anybody else said. Then I go to every scripture about the future judgment. Then I see what happened. Then I know exactly what those people are. And I'll change anything. And I'm going to tell you flat as I stand here, as God is my judge, and I'm not ashamed to say so. When Brother Branham opened Serpent Seed, I was almost entirely lost for material. I had to keep going to him. Then I began looking on my own. And I found a book by Dr. James Wise, the Talmud, and a few other things. And I'd say to Brother Branham, what did Adam do? Well, he said he could have suggested he might have fondled, she got him fondling her breast or something. I'm just going to tell you flat, that's not in the tape. We went back and forth on this. And then I got some pictures. And I got a picture in a magazine where a woman in Sweden had a white baby and a black baby. And Brother Branham read whether you could have conception within a few weeks, within a few hours. Then I found out in Beaumont, Texas, A woman by her own husband conceived two babies 6 weeks apart. All three almost died. Before it's over, if I preach a sermon here on serpent seed, I'm going to tell you flat, for the glory of William Branham, open the doors. My sermon on serpent seed is more full of material than his could possibly be. Because he wasn't given the time, the opportunity. He said, you guys, fill it in. When you don't change anything, you are not adding or subtracting. When you say serpent seed and know what he said, you can write 20 volumes. And you're still saying what the prophet said. You say you can believe what you want. I'm telling you flat what I believe, and you just do what you want. Now it says these women here were not foolish. See? They weren't seduced. Now, if they're the true bride, they qualify as the five virgins that went in. It qualifies as the oil. Then what is the oil? Redeemed word of the hour. We'll show you that in a little while. Now, I want to look at that word foolish. It comes the Greek word moros. I suppose it's kind of like moron or something. It means dull and heedless. It refers to people only four times in the New Testament. In Matthew 7, 26, Matthew 25, 2 and 3:8. So let's just take a look at Matthew 7 just for a split second. It won't do anything for us. It won't go to any harm either. But you know me. I like the overkill. Nobody else does, but who cares? It's like, he's like taking a snake and you cut it in 16 pieces and then pull them apart. They ain't going to get together. The overkill, studying, taking all the scripture in hand. Now, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, a careless man, who built his house upon the sand. In other words, when you've got your chance to get a hold of that word as your life and you turn it down for Gideon, that's those foolish virgins. Careless, silly. Now, Matthew 25, which we got into a while ago, is verses 2, 3, and 8, which you already read them, didn't I? Second verse, there were 10 virgins, and some were 5 wise, 5 foolish. The third, the foolish never took oil. And in verse 8, the foolish said, give us oil. Now, it lets us know these foolish ones were very careless. They never made ready against the day of their visitation. They let the word slip, as it says in 2 Corinthians 11. Now, in Jesus' parable, it does not say that the foolish had no oil to start out with. They had oil in their lamps, but it ran out down the road. See? The wise got a fresh supply and went in. That's a perfect picture of Luther Wesley Pentecost. The oil ran out. Ran out of the Catholic Church. Lutherans got it. It ran out of their church down the road. The Wesleyans got it. Now don't tell me the Lutherans couldn't have had it. You get as far as justification, you know the next step is sanctification, or there's something wrong somewhere. So the Methodists took it up and got a fresh supply. Then they ran out. And Pentecost came with restoration of gifts and baptism. And they said, that's the devil. And they went plumb to hell on that one. You can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost and get away with it. See? They've run out of oil. That's why he put them specifically in the denomination. You follow me? Thank you. It's very nice. I think you're following. Come back next year if you can't get it this year. Now, at the time of the rapture, there is a fresh supply of oil, of manna. You got to have it all. Now the entire Holy Spirit, Christ, fully revealed is here. I preach the parousia. Brother Gunther's church, I should preach it here for you. I'm going to tell you something. It'll go plumb over your heads because you're looking back or looking forward. I'm not going to kid you this morning, brother, sister. I've been too many years your friend to come up here now and be some mealy-mouthed hypocrite and not warn you. 99% of you looking back, looking forward, but you won't recognize him who's here. You say you do, but you don't. I can tell by the way you talk in your spirit. You say, Brother Bale, you're a bum. I am a bum. I'm the worst of the worst of you. But God put me here. You start looking at Lee Bale, you're finished. I'm not kidding you. I've never kidded myself. I'd commit suicide tomorrow morning or tonight if I could. I can't stand Lee Bale. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not lying to you. I'm no hypocrite. I tried to commit suicide at 16 and God wouldn't let me do it. I don't know if he made a mistake or not.
I got news for myself. Let me tell you this flat. I am not going to stand here and pat me on the back or you on the back. I have watched. I have watched. I have watched. And he's here. Now I'm going to confess something. I don't understand either. I look at my life and I say, he is here. What am I doing about it? He has set himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. What am I doing about it? Everybody's screaming this doctrine now. Nobody's got the Holy Ghost. Is that so? Then you better get him. Oh, it's too hard, is it? Like I said the other morning, the kids, did you ever give anybody a Valentine? Why? Because I want to do something next. Well, how nice are you? Well, the Brother Vale don't ask that. But if you, being evil, know how to give even a glass of water, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost? You say, Brother Vale, that sounds good, but there is no but. But the tenth night I heard old Doc Draffin say, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened you. For he that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him the door is knocked. He said, therefore asking is receiving, seeking is finding, knocking is opening the door. The tenth night I said, that's it. Same thing I told you that day. If you rotten bunch of birds, and me with you, can do one little good thing and want to do it, oh, brother, God will give you the Holy Ghost so fast your head will swim. Huh? No amens? Who cares? It's true anyway. Not to worry about amens. I don't have to worry about yours or mine. God said so. Right? God said so? But he didn't mean it. Now he doesn't know how tough we are. All hard-boiled eggs have yellow centers. The entire Holy Spirit, Christ fully revealed, is here. The unwise miss it. They go to the great tribulation realizing too late they were denominated even though they had once come out. Yeah. Went back. And the wise virgin went all the way and received the Holy Ghost and had the full word of this hour, adding word upon word, growing up into Christ until as they received Christ's word and then they became Christ. They became the word of Christ in their flesh. As Brother Branham said, the bride revealed in human, I mean, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh is a bride in every age. Where the bride went from justification to sanctification by the living word, these careless ones did not. But notice, they come up in the second resurrection where the blood stands ready to accept them and take them on to eternal life. How can that be strange when under the fifth seal all Israel saved, going to their grave, hating that one? They were blinded. Brother Branham mentioned many good people are blinded in this day. Now, though they are rebuked in Matthew 25 and 12, he answered unto them, I verily know you not. Dr. Hoyer told me in the Greek that means I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. Why? Luther's dead. Wesley's dead. Pentecost dead. He's alive. I'm married to him. Your boys are all dead. Hallelujah. I never was much for organization. I never was much for front organization either. Never was much for nothing along that line. I was for Jesus, but I didn't do too good a job. When I heard that word come along, the old man dead, I said, hallelujah, and not too soon. Oh, I'm a greedy old woman, and carry that plant. Get them old boys out of my hair so I can get the goodies. You think I want some decrepit old backslidden bum as my wife, my husband rather, when I can have him as my husband, that lovely one, amen, with all the goodies he bought for me, put my name in the book? Oh, you can have the old boys you want. Honey, child, just get me out of this, that man's arms. I want to get in the arms of this other one. Well, you say, Brother Vale, you can get there because the other fellow's dead. Hallelujah, that sure sounds great. They didn't know the old boy was dead. How are you going to get life kissing a corpse? Shh, brother. Well, you may think I'm a little unsound there, but I'm sounding what Brother Branham said. Remember he said about the Nazarene Church? Oh, by the way, I'm sure happy for the Nazarene Church. We're getting their lovely building for $22,000. Cost us $65,000 if we'd have built it ourselves. So we said everything works together for good.
Oh, rejoice with me, bless God. Don't be starchy. Rejoice with me. We found us a church. Not a lost coin. We never did lose one. All right, listen. And refuse the marriage supper in the millennium and never become a part of the bride in New Jerusalem, though they escape the lake of fire. And they do become a part of the great eternity of the new heavens and the new earth. If you care to go to Matthew 25 again, notice verses 10 and 11. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward they came saying, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now, in verse 11, they are not called foolish. They know their mistake. They're finding out some things too late. They realize all too late, for the rapture's been missed. They didn't have the Spirit. Listen, as Brother Branham said, they are saved and come up with the second resurrection. Again, he said, they are virgins and there is no difference between them and the others except they do not have the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to drop something in here. Because of the attitude of a great majority of people who believe this message, and there's always the cry, foolish virgins, against those who do not see this message the same way they see it. Preach it, Brother Bale. I am sick and tired, yes, maybe of some of you sitting here, who go around saying, foolish virgin, you don't even know what you're talking about. If I don't believe Coleman's thunders, I'm foolish virgin. Who said so? I've got the word of God that denies that. Casting aspersions. Huh? Now, you know why I'm preaching tough. I am so fed up with people who segment themselves and say, we have it. And you can't even talk, but they got to push something down your neck. They've got a zeal that outruns the prophets. Because you're going to believe what they say about what he said. Boy, you're not just not eating cherry pie, you're going to throw you out. I'm going to challenge you. I don't believe some things some of you people believe. Am I bride or am I not? Have the guts come up here and tell me. When they started the second soul version, they said to a certain brother, good friend of mine, they said, does Brother Bale believe this? What he said, no, does I know. They said, then is he Brad? He said, yeah. He'll believe it. I don't believe it. What am I? Foolish virgin, according to it. You don't know what a foolish virgin is. Well, come on now. I'm here to nail this down because I'm very sick this morning. I'm taking antibiotics for a low-grade infection. And I can't stand all this junk piled on me. I know this morning when I take vitamins and empty stomach, I get sick. So I'm not half as well as I used to be. I want you to come before me or anybody someday and tell us how you know. You say, Brother Bale, I'm not that kind of a guy. Thank God. I'm glad none of you folk are here that. Then take this message out and begin preaching it. Every man, woman, and child. And say, do you know what a foolish virgin is? You know what you're talking about? No. The trick of the world. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's got the idea when the Mohammedans came to Africa, the Coptic churches were killed by the sword of the Mohammedans. Lie from the pit of hell. You know how they died out? They just said, you can't be part of our society. And the kids said, we can't be part of society. We want to belong. And the parents said, we can't be part of the society. We're ostracized. And said, yeah. Oh, well, we better turn Mohammedan. The bride, so-called, pulling the same trick. Trying to shame into something. Why don't you scare people out of hell by, you know, by scaring hell out of them? I'm not kidding and making blasphemous remarks. There's no eternal hell. I don't care who says there is. There's not. There is no eternal hell. Oh, but you say, Mr. Maxwell, he made a survey and he found that 80% of the people got saved by fear. Oh, for God's sake. I don't know how smart Maxwell is. He doesn't know his Bible. Wrote a great book called Born Crucified. I don't care if he did. He doesn't know his Bible. You don't get people scared into heaven. Otherwise, he could scare the devil because he knows exactly what's going on and going to happen to him. Art thou come to him 2 minutes before our time? Well, now we know we're going to be tormented. But listen, give us a chance to do all these dirty things in here in the meantime. But he's got to be sick. Huh? Still love me?
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you don't, you know. I'm not here to be loved, but it'd be nice if you did. Yeah, the cry always is the foolish birds and certain cousins, those who don't see the message the same way I see it. What makes you think I got to see it your way? What if I'm that little old gal that just needs one tape? Huh? The scrub lady with three tapes. I still haven't bought that apron, wash tub, and scrub board, but I got enough money now to do it. Brother Gump, you and I'll get one. We'll have a whole lot better chance than most, honey. I'm not kidding, although I do make a bit of a joke to get the point across. If I simply do see a certain brother's teaching, if I simply do not see a certain brother's teaching, I am branded foolish virgin, or worse. Now, I don't want to be branded that, neither do I want anybody holding me up as though what I believe is right. Because, brother, they believe it. What does it matter what I believe? I am fallible. It took a vision from God to turn me from even thinking about British Israel. Don't look at me. Listen, this in the face of 2 Timothy 2:19. Now let's go back and see it. Now I'm just going to be as nasty as a sidewinding snake. Because the Bible says, be like a serpent, but harmless the dove. And I ain't going to hurt anybody, but we're just going to look at the Word of God. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured, having this seal. Lee Vale. Brother Gunther. Harmon Neville. Brother Dirksen. Brother McHughes. Brother Green. Well, I can't see it. Bless God, wasting my breath and a lot of breath at that. Because the only way you or I could know is if we had a certain faith and the rest of the guys lined up. The Lord knoweth them which are here. That every man that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Stop that nonsense trying to make yourself God and say you believe like me. But that is some crap. 10 years ago, a young man that has a tremendous influence told me in Chicago, I can't worship with anybody who doesn't believe like me. Huh? Bully for the Branhamites. They may not be wise or unwise, but they're pretty cruddy virgins. I'm not finished yet, so just hold your seats. This in the context of 16 to 19. Shun profane and vain babbling. For they'll increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat us as a canker, whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of earth, saying the resurrection's already passed, they'll return the faith of saints. And they've already said it's already passed, and we're in the millennium. And let me tell you flat, deity worship as we know it is giving place to more subtle worship. I'm going to challenge you right today. You're on the verge of in less than 20 years of Branham ministry will be rotten to the Roman Catholic Church. You say, Brother Bear, hold your tongue. I will not hold my tongue. I will not hold my tongue. You can close your ears and do what you want. I will not hold my tongue except for grace in my heart. I would mention names. I'm not mentioning any names. Don't kid me. They can say foolish birds. Huh? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just warning you. You say, we're not here this morning. Good, then take the tape out somebody else. My job is to warn in advance. When you get a prophet's message under your belt, you start warning in advance because you got the prophet's message. Because the trumpet blows,
has already blown warning was down the road. Shall God do something before he warned his prophet and blow a trumpet and roar like a lion? And all right, pick up the prophet's trumpet and the prophet's lion roar and roar. The very words he said, you will not always be sweet, your clique, your clan, your cult. How? Silly divisions on the word. We're not eating cherry pie anymore unless it's my pie. And never mind throwing the pits, I'll throw the guy out. Well, listen, I talk tough and rough, and I've named names, and I've been rough about thunder, virtues, and everything else. I'm going to tell you flat, brother, they're in the message. They're in the message. They're bride. How can I call them anything else? There's something there that's real. They're a part of me, I'm a part of them. Brother Branham said, Junior Jackson believes this message just as much as we do. And I thought, ho, 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 ho. That's a very nice fellow, but he's playing politics. I learned, like I learned the other day, the word interruption was the only word Brother Branham could have used. I thought, poor little Kentucky. I didn't mean poor little Kentucky. But I thought, Brother Branham's using the quaint word. I understand his quaint word. I was sitting there very intelligent. I did not understand his quaint word because it was not a quaint word. It was accurate. It was an interruption. Eve interrupted it. It's going to start over again pretty soon. Hallelujah. To start it now. We're ready for the millennium, right? Then it's an interruption. Huh? Do you follow me? I hope so. Yeah. Words are perfect. So he said Junior believes this message as much as we do. But Junior doesn't. Why, in 64 in Topeka, Kansas, he took his own version of the church age, and he took what Dr. Trent said about the seven parables of Matthew 13 and likened it to the seven church ages, and everybody got happy. And I said, now hold it, Dr. Trent did that, and it won't work because it's a vindicated prophet. But Junior believes the message in his own way, even maybe way more than I do. I got to go and apologize to him. Now I'll phone him when I get home. I don't mind. Because I found out the truth. You see, while I was going down the road, he's out, I mean, he's out, I mean. So God has no foundation to stand sure anymore. Because now the Lord doesn't know, but I know. And we had a guy that got killed years ago. Bludgeoned to death. But he knew all the names, did he? Well, come on now. He fooled a lot of people. One guy said about him, he's a greater prophet than Brother Branham because he wasn't ever in organization. Huh? Well, you say, Brother Dale, we'll put that name out. No, he's in the message. I'm sorry. Oh, but we're still lovely. We can't stand anything. The one that went and get God when he said, Lord, thou hast a fair conscience, you know, and you wouldn't do that. God says, shut up, you hypocrite. He said, Brother Bailey, you sure must go through internal hell. I do. I'm not preaching funny up here, Lee Bill. I'm preaching my soul, and I go through hell day and night. Because I know what it is to take a stand for what I believe. And it's, I can't help it. Somebody's got to go, but never because of me. You hear what I said? The foundation of God stands sure. Don't you realize what that is saying? That the purpose of God stands in election. The bride is by election. Not your choice, not your understanding, not your saying. You had nothing to do with it. You don't even know yourself. But by faith you do. And so does that other fellow. Huh? All right, let's keep going. This lines with 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 15. Now we'll be out of here by tomorrow. I didn't want the camp to finish anyway today. As long as I'm in the driver's seat here, all right, bless God, you're going to stick around a while. It says right here, after Paul mentions the evidence of the Holy Ghost, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judging no man. And how can any man tell me that I'm wrong? How can I tell you you're wrong? Now let's get this straight. Even though I preach like a house of fire and I mean as a, you know, a mad dog that just bit itself. I look down at you and I preach as though I know it. Look, I've got to preach that way and I believe I do know it. But if you said, Brother Vail, you're wrong to say it. And I'm wrong to think you're wrong because you say it. Now, here's the thing. If I'm preaching what you don't see and you say it's wrong to you, and I can't correct you. And if you come back and say, Brother Vail, you're wrong, but it's not wrong to me, you can't correct me. Now, where does that leave you? That leaves every single one of us, no matter what we believe. We are all right. We are all brothers. That's what it says here. Anybody that's got the Holy Ghost has a nature about him. That is a spirit that precedes the incoming of the Holy Ghost. And that nature will allow the Holy Spirit to teach me anything and allow you the privilege, hopefully the same Holy Ghost, teaching anything I want to teach you, and we being amenable. Say, praise God for your revelation, brother. But no, instead, it'll split churches, and then can't be gone. Because it said they weren't of us, but they went out from us. They got to hit her somewhere sometime, brother, sister. I'm sick and tired of our clicking and our clanning. I'm sick and tired of all the hypocrisy. That's why I won't go to preachers' meetings anymore. Especially now, here I don't mind a cat meeting run right. And I got my reservations about this. Brother Gunther knows it, you know it. We're not operating as clandestines right out in the open. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This group gets with that group and sits and has a great time. That group has a great time. Why can't we get together and have a great time? Here it means we shut up about the Word and talk about the weather. Huh? Nope. Nobody wants it. Well, I don't say nobody wants it. Also, John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. In other words, I'm trying to say here, why are people constantly taking wrong scripture and thereby casting aspersions and putting themselves in the place as though they were God? It can be done. I can do it so easily. But I'm under constant conviction day and night. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. If this were a judicious statement of exactly what a foolish virgin is, it would not be so bad. For it means a purged church will arise after the millennium and be part of eternity, where it says so in Revelation 21:1-6. But these people are unchristianizing their brethren. Brother Branham spoke about the remnant. Take a piece of cloth that's 6,000 years in making. Lay on the pattern of 1 Ephesians 1:3-11. That's the election pattern. Cut the cloth according to the pattern. And the pattern of election leaves the same cloth behind as in the pattern, except one is not elect. The bride is by election, no other way. We go to 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his presence, and then after the great white throne judgment. It tells you every man in Adam that died, because they were all in Adam, not in the serpent. But part of those in Adam are not right. You can tell that. The genealogy of Jesus Christ proves this. He just didn't come from any son of Adam. He came down, 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 down. And you notice how it hit Noah. Noah was the only perfect human being left. Get Rotherham's translation. It tells you that, shows you that. That's exactly why the seed came by the woman. I can explain it. Haven't got time. Simple as ABC. When Brother Branham said, life comes to man, he meant what he said, but he went to the Bible, not just some medical dictionary. Now listen. The 22nd, 23rd verses. That's what he wanted. Christ. Everyone in their order. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ one from another? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hadst not received it? In other words, if I can judge somebody else, it means positively I know I've done something myself. When I know I haven't done something, I got it from God. Then what am I acting as though I got it on my own? Now if I meritoriously do something, I'm worthy of honor. But if God puts you in a bride, then where is this foolish service? Preach it, Brother Bill, and preach it yourself. I'm trying to do it, kid. Why do you think I'm torn up? I want to quit preaching. Because I've hit the hard thing. My nature's so stunk up, I can't be just gentle and sweet to lay it on the line and make you all feel good. Sure, I tear you up. I'm sorry about that. I'm torn up, too. Join the crowd. Let's go to 1 John 12 and 13. But as many as he gave power to them, as many as he gave me power to be the sons of God, others placed them there, showing them what they were, to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now what if I'm a foolish virgin? I can't help it. All right, here's Brother Staple. I want to make a fool out of Brother Staple. How would you all like me come down to Brother Staple. Cripple. Did you make yourself crippled? You don't want to be crippled, do you? Well, he sure does, though, according to us. Mean little kids. Mean little kids. Little Mongol old girl, grinning happy. You can hear. Poke her. Kick her. Kick her, pinch her. She's infirm. She's not like us. Oh, sweet love of God. Gentle bowels of mercy. Somebody's sick. Foolish virgin. Unchristianize them. I'm going to tell you again. In less than 20 years, the Catholic Church can't hold a candle to us. The spirit of Catholicism that puts its priests and members above the law, and we sure stand above Brother Branham's word, who stood and said, don't unchristianize anybody. You could be right, I could be wrong.
Look at me. I'm the virgin.
Well, bully for you. Seduction comes to a virgin from in on you ain't seduced, honey. Huh? Oh, that was a snide remark. I make no bones about it. I intend to be snide. Romans 1:9-17 I say the truth in Christ. I line out my conscience, bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I have a great heaviness that's continued sore in my heart. I can wish myself a curse for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. A man full of the Holy Ghost said, God, if it would do any good, curse me and bring somebody in. Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God, the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came over all, God blessed of all, amen, forever. And on down to verse 17, going into exile. Let me tell you something here, Brother Sitcher. I can see the same thing here. Paul was a part of that cloth cut out in election. And now, by the grace of God, we're the same cloth. But instead of looking around at our brethren and recognizing the election, recognizing each other, and saying, oh God, I could be a curse for somebody.
He ain't done.
Now listen. Not as though the word of God had taken an effect in all of Israel, say there is room. Neither because of the seed of Abraham, the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's the children of flesh and not the children of God. The children of promise are time to seed. For this is the word of promise. This time I'll come and Sarah shall have a son. Not before, just then. Now in this one, Rebecca also conceived by one her father Isaac, because she couldn't have children. Had to come by God. Now, for the children being not born, neither having done any good or evil. Foolish virgin can't help it. Being non-elect can't help it. Brother Brown? Can my baby go in the rapture? I don't know. Depends on the election. Brother Branham, can my mother make it? I don't know, honey. Depends on the election. Remember his answer? Brother Branham, can this? His election, he said. Same piece of cloth. Huh? You, that sounds just like the devil. When he got to, by election, to worship God and be in the throne, he said, I think I'll just take it. I'll tell who's in and I'll tell who's out. Now, I know I'm so rotten up here, it's pitiful. And I don't enjoy it, but look, I've got to tell it as it is. And more for my sake than yours. Because by thinking it and telling it and coming back here, it may get a hold of my heart. So I thank you for coming and listening. But I know somebody else is listening to the heart too. What shall we say is unrighteous with a righteous God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion whom I will have mercy. And it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. See? For this cause I've raised thee up, to declare my name in power throughout the earth, and so on. Hath not the power part of the clay of the same lump to make one vessel honor and one to dishonor? Election, predestination, foreknowledge, God. So God can have a bride. He could have attendance. He could have a vast throng. And we, the last of the bunch with the most, say, foolish virgin. Get a bead like me. You talk about making Brother Branham God isn't half as rotten as ourselves making ourselves God. Because at least we had a pretty good idea to make him God. But if I take a look in the mirror, God doesn't have to vomit. I'll save him the trouble. If you need the vomitorium, ask one. The ushers are at hand. Ephesians 2:1-6, and you have to quicken who are dead in trespass and sins were in time past. You want according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that walks in children disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, lest the flesh fulfill the desire of my flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But we who have rich mercy in our hearts, and we're such lovely creatures, that God could not help but look down in spite of the mess and say, whoopee, I found the treasure. Well, if we live it, let's read it. Huh? If we live it that way, read it that way. We're supposed to be living epistles read and known of all men, right? So read it that way. Now I'm extra mean right now. I don't intend to be. It just happened to come out. I must have been in there. It was logical. But God, who is rich in mercy, fallen sons of God, and they're the worst of the works, because they've always somehow known better. With his great love, we loved even when we were dead like everybody else. He raised us. You see? Now, with this, we're going to strike again John 5. So we're beginning to understand and bring ourselves down where we belong. And if I've got to quit preaching to do it, Brother, I'm going to quit preaching. Because Brother Branham said, if you can't live it, don't preach it. Fair enough. 28-30. And 5. Whoops, that's chapter 6. Sorry about that. Marvel not at this, the hour is coming in which all in this grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto resurrection life, and they that have done evil, the resurrection damnation. Doesn't say one thing about the rebirth. Says you're going to be judged, and they'll get qualified at that time. And it's not a second chance, it's what you've done, open it. I can of myself do nothing, have to hear a judge, my judgment just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father sent me. If I have witnessed to myself, witness is not true, and so on. Now listen, Brother Branham said, don't ever unchristianize anyone. Brother Branham placed those unwise virgins in the denomination. I don't recall he ever called any of us anything but his kids, which he had begotten in the gospel. 1 John 4:15. All right. So though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Paul's gospel, William Branham's gospel, these are all Branhams. Then if William Branham begotten us, who are you going to tell me he's not my father? Huh? Here's a daddy, got maybe 8 or 10, 12 boys. Here's old Jacob. Now they said, Reuben, you do so-and-so. And Judah comes back and said, well, Pop, what will I do? He ain't going to do what Reuben's going to do. Judy, you do what you're supposed to. And Asher comes by and says, well, Pop, what'll I do? I want you to do what so-and-so, not what Simeon does now, but you're on your own. And Joseph comes by and says, what do we do? And he tells him something else. And before it's over, there's one beautiful picture there, and they all got part of the secret. And they see things a certain way on what the
beautiful picture there, and they all got part of the secret. And they see things a certain way on what their father told them. I do my best to see everything my brother and sister comes up with in this message. But if I don't see what they see, well, suddenly William Branham's not my daddy. William Branham is my daddy. He begot me in the gospel. Not your livelihood. Now, you want to challenge me? Well, you challenge the wrong guy, because I got you down hands flat. It's one of the top crumbs on the upper crust. I never make anything of it. I'm embarrassed to be one of his kids because I embarrass him. I'm one of his kids. But Branham's kids seem a whole lot like Esau and Jacob. They want to fight it out. Now, let us just suppose a lot of us are foolish virgins. Well, just suppose. Let's take a hypothetical thing. Or not so much foolish virgins, but destined to be a part of the future which is not the bride. Huh, what about it? Now, somebody's got to be. Now, by faith I believe I am, but I can't prove nothing. But by faith I believe I am. But I'm something. I didn't hear this message for nothing. Because he begot me to it. He told me God gave me to him. Boy, if I got you now, whoopee. Holy virgin, yeah. Don't be what I be. I'm not lying. I'm not going to prove it. Want to bring his wife here? I'm one of his kids. But maybe I got to go up and say your resurrection. You say, how can that be? Because he shall multitudes. He said, millions. Huh? He said there weren't million brides. All that loved you and all that you loved, they'll be with you. Prophet gathered where he's supposed to be, and his kids with him. Oh, yeah. Old Jacob with his 12 sons, I want to tell you, he wasn't too proud about Judah. Judah was a rascal, and Reuben was a skunk. But Brother Branham said, there's 12 thrones of those old boys on him. David couldn't even stand up and discipline his own boy, raped his half-sister. Said, oh, well, boys would be boys, and I'm a boy myself. Huh? What use would it be to point anybody out? You see, Brother Staples really wants to be crippled to get sympathy. And doesn't look like us. Let's kick his wheelchair over. Oh, we're such good nature, such fun. Little girl's blind, so put your foot out. Man, I'm going home, don't about you. I don't even want to see you after service. Not that I don't love you. I'm ashamed. I've stuck my foot out for the blind. I've kicked over wheelchair spiritually. Yeah? Oh, my. We are souls. Why point it out? And if pointed out, it will be the sick sheep that start picking on them. I want Paul's word to set the Branham kids right. That's you and me. I got you because you all agreed to Brother Gunther last night, so cold turkey's cold turkey. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You write the same things to me. Indeed, it's not grievous, but you say, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man think he has something to trust in the flesh, let me tell you flat, I've got you beat hands down. circumcised the 8 days, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, touching the law of Pharisee, that's the top dog, concerning zeal, you couldn't beat me, persecuting the church, touching rights in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count a loss for Christ's $8, and I count all things a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, I don't have time for anything else, picking or nitpicking or anything else. Ain't got time for that nonsense. For whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found him, not having own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, that if I may attain unto the, not resurrection, but the out resurrection from among the dead, which is getting the first resurrection right around the corner. Not as though I'd already attained. That's funny, I thought Paul had it made. Either already perfect. We got a lot of perfect folk among us, they got all the answers. Oh, we're right. You ain't. You don't believe that either. You're blind. You can't see the prophet. Very funny. I argued 4.5 hours in one point. Took me 10 days in another. Well, of course I'm dumb and stupid. I admit that. Let's pass us some cosmic intelligence there, shall we? No, we won't. Wouldn't be nice. I wouldn't win anyway, so it's all right. I'm just kidding you. Not as though I'd already attained, we're perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything, listen, and if in anything otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Then don't try so hard to convince me or anybody else what you got. Now we got people in this message acting like God and pretending they are God and trying to convince us like God. When they got me on the two-soul bit, I said, Lord, I ain't very smart. They got a lot of culture, and I can be perfectly wrong. This is just what I have happened to me. Now I got the sermons there. I got what this fellow said and that fellow said. I got out the tape, and I said, Lord, I said, it's very wonderful, but you know I'm so dumb, I can't figure anything out. I said, God, what should I do? And like a voice said, it's wrong, leave it alone. Now, it might not be wrong to them, but it's wrong to me. So I told one fella, and he got a very cunning look on his face. You mean leave it alone? To him it means, don't even talk about it. Let me go my way and just spread all I want to spread. Hoo-wee. Brother, sister, look, we are not here the children of hell, smart as serpents and just as rotten. God have pity, don't you see you're entitled and I'm entitled to be led of Almighty God, and the elect will not be fooled, and somewhere down the line God will turn us right around and help us? It's taken me 13 years to find little points that mean everything to me. I'm slow. I'm dumb. You're smart. I'm glad you got it all if you have. I don't mean to hit you like that. I'm talking about maybe way down the road you're going to run into this kind of thing. Listen, if God wants to show you something, he'll show you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, you and I might not agree on Scripture because God has not yet shown us, but there's a certain walk we're to carry on. And the prophet said it, eat your cherry pie, spit out the pits, and keep on eating cherry pie. But no! Code of them. Pressure him until he bogs down. When did the Holy Ghost hit you the 4x4? Never did. Brethren, be followers of me. Mark them which walk as we have before an example. For many walk up, I've told you often. Now tell you the weeping. They are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction. God is their belly, glory is their shame, they mind earthly things. But our citizenship is from heaven. And we are concerned about him who will change our vile bodies, fashioned like his. See? Now, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25. As one brother said, and I say it again, I'm not long-winded, they got a lot to say about this subject, I'm not finished yet. If you get tired and want to go home, maybe you can get a tape or so rotten sermon in you don't want it anyway. Listen, know ye not that they which run in a race won't run all, but one receives a prize, so run that you may obtain? And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Yes, even this message there's a temperance. Brother Branham was temperate. Do you realize when a certain man left the Masons, the Catholics, to become a Mason? Oh, I was a big shot, hot shot, soul winning Charlie, bless God, and I was going to let the prophet knew I was on the ball. So I let this dear friend of his know that, well, that was all right, but there mean things to be saved. And he said, you did exactly wrong. Well, now, prophet of God, how can I be wrong when I was zealous, bless God? He said, see, Lee, that man took a great step. You pat him on the back, you commend him. Because Lee said, for a man to turn Mason from Catholic is a tremendous thing. Thank God for it. Pass down the road, the Lord will do something else. Encourage him. Huh? Maybe I'll see two soul doctrine in. I think I got a half a dozen myself, the way the war's going on down there. Once I want thee, you ain't going to beat me into it. And you start boring in, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to show good spirit, I'm going to fool with you. You're going to say, Brother Bale, I see something. Now, a fellow tried to convince me many years ago about something. The poor fellow's dead now. But I'm going to tell you, I loved him until the point where he tried to use a phrase of Brother Branham to destroy me. And I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to let my hair down and you can do what you want because I may never see again. I got a feeling I'll soon be gone. I hope my feeling is not Lee Dale's, but it's God's feeling. Brother Branham read the manuscript of the 20th century prophet. Get that flat. He gave me the illustrations to use at my discretion. But he never read the book when it came off the press. It could have been changed. So when we were talking about the Word of God, what Brother Branham taught, this brother let me know from what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham did not think anything much of me or the book because he hadn't read it and as though he hadn't wanted to. Now look, brother, sister, when you use this message as a knife and twist it, I'm telling you something. You just think you've got something, and you have, but you've got the thing I don't want. Huh? You ain't gonna prove nothing by you got some big deal. You had a vision or you had this. I've had the phone, your stuff coming I was supposed to do and walk off. And one person said, are you gonna obey God or not? They told me no way. I said, I'm gonna believe the God that you think I'm supposed to believe. Pay that flat. Huh? Holy virgins, eh? Now it says here, listen to this fella. Everybody should run the race with this in mind. I so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not as one that beats the air. I should beat the living daylights out of everybody just near me. And I'll tell you what, I've got that good Catholic spirit. I'm going to make them bleed my way. Yes, sir, you Augustine. You know how you fight? You fight yourself. Yeah, be near punching somebody in the nose with this message, and you got to believe in my way, bless God. There's a lot of things I'll quote the prophet, but I don't know what he said. There's about five quotes of whether you see the saints when you're unchanged, or you see them when they are changed, and this and that. There's about five quotes. And they seem to contradict each other. And the best I can do is find out this. And that is, that I can see them before I'm changed, but I will not see them going up until I am changed. I could be wrong. He said, Brother Dale, you'd be the top man to say, no, I just don't understand. I'm happy. I'm going to fight you and poke you in the nose if you don't believe what I believe. I got to poke myself in the nose. He said, I keep under my body and bring the suggestion, lest any means when I preach that I myself become a castaway. Paul, knowing what he preached as the divine revelation, said, look, if I don't watch my spirit, I'll be disapproved of God and thrown down. He said, hallelujah, my spirit. He ain't got it. Pennsylvania, I got some people going to me. There's a friend of mine. One day the man said to this good buddy, all he said, it's time for a showdown. Now listen, some of you folk ain't dumb sitting here. You've seen that same thing in the spirit, West Coast, East Coast.
Now, let's not fool anymore. The gloves are off. He said, time for a showdown. Feeling, got it? Never said a hand. Can't believe like us. Brother Ben's going to have a private resurrection, of course, or something else. I'm not lying, Jake. You want a proof? Kid, I've got no money to fly him in here. I ain't kidding. Don't call my bluff. You can be one sick person and call my bluff. Want me to name names? I'm scared. Hey, then got it. Never said it did. Prophet said it did, but that's nothing. He'd have been patting me on the back and been nice. I don't go by those things. I look at myself and I wonder what I was, what I am, what I will be. But Dale doesn't have it. He doesn't say what we say. The guy said, thank you, sir. Never came back. Huh? Now you want to hear the truth, I'm giving you the truth. I said, I don't care if you love me or not. It's no big deal. But I got something down in my heart that's killing me. It's tearing me to pieces. See? And I'm scared for Lee Vale. Where's my spirit? Do I even have the Holy Ghost? Did I get that welcoming spirit? Huh? Are you following what I'm talking about this morning? Then let's have some repentance and some changes. I don't care how far you are above this. Steal your heart so that nothing can get in. Because you're not there yet. It's going to get worse. If we can have people throwing each other now with a greater Roman Catholic spirit than the Catholics got, at least they've gone ecumenical and charismatic. If in less than 20 years we're this far, and Jesus Christ carries another few, which he could. Oh, brother, may I be home or someplace else. Hide me, O God, from thy face. Remember, brother's own words one day said, we, notice, he said, with thoughts of grace, I include myself with you. With thoughts of grace, I say, poo to you. Is that it? Listen, when speaking about those who made him God, he still called them his kids. When they embarrassed him going to Arizona, they were still his children. I'll never forget the night I saw him on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Hives all over his face, rolling like a captured wild animal. Literally almost like on the verge of almost of insanity, nervous breakdown. And he said, oh, Lee, I failed God. I failed God. He never said, they failed God. He said, I failed God. Foolish virgin. You don't have to fail up now. Branham's kids? Ha! Well, shall we dance? No. We're going to play the death march. Because there's no humor here this morning. There's no victory, no jubilance. As long as there's one Canaanite spirit in the land. I don't care what victory this meeting has. I don't care identified we find ourselves in Jesus Christ and Hipperall here and there. As long as we are Branham's kids and don't have the life of William Branham in us. To say, I failed God, Lee. I failed God. Took the blame. Didn't doubt. They're not mine. He said, they're my kids. I'm standing up here as a pretty vile piece of dog meat. I'm one of your kids. You can't put me out. You ain't got prayer. You know, Jack Bell won't mind me telling you, but he and Gina are a real pair. I love those kids like my own kids. You know, they got married so young, they brung each other up. Jack had a temper. He got mad at her one day. He said, listen, woman, I'm going to tell you flat. When I get home, you're going to be gone. She said, I'll be here. He came and said, I thought I told you. I said, I told you I'd be here. Well, you can tell they made up. They got 7 kids. They bring each other up. He's there. And she's still there. You ain't going to throw me out. I ain't going to throw you out.
But I'm getting awful nervous. I'm getting awful nervous. I don't want to have fellowship with people. I want to have fellowship. I might kid you and say, I don't care if I love you or you love me or not, but look at it. I can give you my hand run to any expert in the world and they'll tell you, I relate to people. And I do, I'm people. When I doodle in cartoon, it's always people. People, 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 day and night. I live with people, I am people, that's all I got. But please stop making me nervous if there's anybody here that does that. I can't go certain place anywhere in America, so I'm so nervous. Why? Because I know what they're thinking and what they're doing. Hey, that's them. He was the prophet. You know, those guys close to the prophet. They never did see anything. He ain't God. He ain't one of us. I could recommend preachers around the country. Have that brother. He's a good brother. Well, don't have them. I'm not complaining. Look, I've got many places to go to now. I can't even do it. I'm 2 and 3 years behind, so forget that nonsense. I'm trying to give a point to you this morning, brother, sister. William Branham was not that way. Are we his kids or aren't we? Now let's face it, Paul the Apostle had begotten you by the gospel, and we are begotten by the gospel of William Branham. We are Branham's kids, one father. Papa Branham. And I'm ready this morning to take every one of you to my heart. On one consideration, you act like his kids and stop this crazy talk as though you and I know something. Because we don't. You can't prove anything. You quote, 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 and I will quote, quote, quote till the cows come home. I challenge you, prove it. You can't. The very quotes they throw in my face from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon. Portland, Maine. And Portland, Oregon to Miami. I'll take the same quotes and see them in a different light. Now, how am I going to justify myself? I don't have to, the Bible said, son. You believe what you believe. Son, you believe what you believe. Now hug and kiss and make up, because you both believe in hell. You're eating cherry pie. It's a cherry pie festival.
Well, bless God, we're going to done throw the contestants out.
Cherry pie, no cherry pie. You ain't Branham's kids, I ain't Branham's kids. Now, let me tell you something, I'm changing. Slow, very slow, very, very slow. But he's doing something in here and there. Now, I get to preaching so hard, I'm not bitter, but it kind of then even makes me worse than what I am. So I got to watch that. But believe me, brother, sister, by the grace of God and by diligent help on my own part and anybody else's part, if anybody's going to get bought, it's going to be Lee Vale until he brings himself into captivity to Jesus Christ, where these people all are my brothers, we're all Branham's kids. I have just one thing I hate, and Jesus hates it, is that Nicolaitan spirit that tries to lord it over anybody. Now listen, well, if you leave this building and say Lee Vale is a crazy fool, God bless you. He sure is. If you say he didn't preach one thing the prophet preached, you could be right. No, I think I did. Maybe I didn't. I mean, I don't know. I told you I get a little test going. I try to check the spirit by the word, never vice versa. I try to check the spirit of the man. What does he want? Does he want money, Brother Brandon said? Does he want our women? Does he want our people? What does he want? And the third thing he says, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the word. So I try to look around and I don't get myself fussed up like some person did. A girl came into church one day and she said, oh, it's just not like church. It's just like plain church. You know what she did? She checked the word by the Spirit. It wasn't like her own home church. We have a fun, nice time, da-dee-da-dee-da. This church ain't got it, ha-ha-ha. But it did. And she told her daddy. And her daddy believed it. He believed it. You don't judge word by spirit, you judge spirit by word. What does a preacher want? What's a preacher preach? I don't care if he's pastoring me. What am I preaching for? I uncover my heart to you like I've done. And you think I'm preaching any way except to expose this thing and get it out of my heart. And God help me and God help you. They should get caught in the trap. And a lot are. You think I want to end a meeting like this on a kind of a sour note where I could pull you this way or that way? I'm going to be preaching the three poles of old Jacob. Or rather, Joshua. The three commands of faith. Get y'all screaming and running. That'd be a whole lot more fun. I want you to sit here and cry if necessary. Too late in the day. Get the junk out of our heart. Or I'll tell you, if you don't, I made a prediction, I'm no prophet. But I've called the attention so far, Nicolaitan, this has just about completely expended itself. The next thing is only able to see, which is anarchy. If you're rising up and forcing the preacher to preach what they want to hear, or splitting this way and that. You're not going to sit here complacent. Get a hold of yourself. See? Don't run out there in the battle untried with the PhDs and Saul's garments. If you've got your old sling and know how to grab the bear and the lion by the beard and cut their chops off, praise God. See? Now, there's a lot of wonderful people out there we won't even recognize. There are a lot amongst us that we ostracize. But God does not recognize them as saved. Say, God doesn't do that. But listen to Matthew 5:2-7. Well, that's the Beatitudes. See, he said they're blessed. And then contrasted over here to Luke, where the Pharisee lifts up his head and said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I got it all. And you see, you go back to Matthew 25. But I got to hurry now to get you out of here in the last couple of pages of notes. Right, run down myself. Listen. 31-40. The Son of Man in all his glory come. That separates them. See? And then, in verse 46, these are going to everlasting punishment. But some are going to go into glory. As it says in verse 40. Why? Because you did it unto the brethren. Notice the value of watching how you treat your brother, Branham kids. There's not one of you here that believes this message, but you're a Branham kid. How are you treating your brother? Now, how are you treating your brother? I could say some things here I won't, because I'm personal acquainted with them, but I'm leaving that to your conscience. Listen to me. I am trying to get something across to you, and now I'm going to try to make it even clearer. There are those of us who are sweet, kind, and trying to do our best. Hopefully, I wish I were one doing it more. There are others whose natures are more nervous, and that gives them great trials. But they long to live completely for God. The greatest cry of my heart has always been, Jesus, I want to be sweet, kind, and tender, and kick the daylights out of me. I went to the prophet. He turned his back on me and walked off. I don't know where I'm going to go to heaven or hell. But I'll tell you one thing. If it's his glory to do it, then praise God, I'll go to heaven or hell. Now, I don't know how you feel. I want you to let know what's in my heart this morning. Some of you folk are climbing so hard over everybody to be bright that you're going to climb some over the top and find yourself at the bottom. There's a guy that's kind of a mental case out in Tucson, and he was in not Tucson, but he's in Jeffersonville. My wife got up about 5 o'clock in the morning, was the first woman in line to get in the building. Oh, way later on, after he had a good sleep and a good breakfast, he comes edging his way in, and then he stands right about the first three. So some lady, she began saying, well, you know, it's in the pity that these people don't stay in line and always try to edge in. And my wife said, that's true. Said, oh, yes, Sister Bill, that's true. People shouldn't do that. And he's done it. As soon as I opened, he stepped so hard on my wife's foot, spun around, she couldn't even get in. Huh? Fight your way to the top. Tramp on somebody. Lord it over him. Not too far from here, you're not in the Word unless you believe a certain name. I've got news for you. I don't believe him. I'm in the Word. He don't believe me. He's in the Word. Yeah, nobody can prove anything. Yeah, there are ever so many who inwardly cry and wonder if they are in the election. They view their lives as wasted and see nothing good in themselves. That's true. None of us really should. Now we must face this for sure. We can't prove we're bride. But by thoughts of grace, we believe that we are and press on. Now, if the fellow that doesn't believe like you is obeying Brother Branham, but he believes his bride and pressing on, what gives you the right to say he's not doing right? What gives me the right? I don't like some of these doctrines. But I gotta admit, they got their rights. They're using the quotes. It's right to them. And I cannot put them out. I cannot put them in. They're bride. We're to press on. Always comes the nagging pain. What if I am not? All right. Let's put something right in the eye this morning. you don't mind, I preach a little longer? Because I want to get to some real, real, real nice stuff here that's just really hard. If your father touched a woman promising to marry her and the wife he now has, you'd be illegitimate. Or you'd have to be a polygamist. Brother Branham boiled down true legitimacy to one thing. When two married couples have intercourse and have a baby, yet when it came to discussing the life of Jesus Christ, he branded him according to what people said is illegitimate. That is to say, he took what the people said. Now, various authorities talk about this word from the Hebrew. It comes from the word meaning alien, denoting a child of an Israelitish man and a foreign woman. That is why God was so angry at Baal Peor and killed him. Another authority says it also designates an illegitimate child. But this is hard to believe because a woman with child outside of wedlock was killed. But Brother Branham takes the term in this hour to make illegitimacy, like he said about Jesus, a Roman soldier and a single woman. So we use that thought. He said the child could be saved, but hardly part of the bride. That's what he said. All right? You want to take a gun now and blow your brains out if you're part of that? What are you going to do? Now, I said you can take this message right or wrong and leave here with your faith pulled up or your faith pulled down. It all depends on how you want to listen to me. Because I'm not here to pull any man's faith down. I'm trying to balance this thing out and get you to have faith in God and never mind anybody else. I said illegitimacy. A young unmarried man, a young unmarried woman, even having a baby, according to Brother Branham's constant comments, would make that child illegitimate. 10 generations can't even get in the temple. And you'd be surprised if people would come to me and ask me these questions. And I can name even certain races of people who seem to indulge in this thing. Until, my God, what a mess. I am now going to go to the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, 1 to 10. You say, what has that got to do with foolish virgins? It's got everything to do with it. Because I am sick and tired of people running down people when God's in it. When God's trying to show grace, they will take it away. When God would do something, they'll take every quote and comment and spit on it. All right, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, a whore. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they threw out Jephthah and said to him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now, she just wasn't a matter of being a strange woman. She was a prostitute. So if this guy wasn't illegitimate, I don't know who in the world would be. Jephthah fled from the face of the brethren, and he dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass the process of time the children of Ammon made war against Israel, and Jephthah was one tough cookie. He was a firebrand when it came to fighting, just like Samson. So they came to him and said to Jephthah, come be our captain in verse 6, and that we may fight the children of Ammon. Jephthah said to Gilead, elders, you did ye not hate me and should expel me out of my father's house? Why you come now when you're in distress? Why, you guys just call me a bastard, kicked me out, no good bum, couldn't go in the temple. I haven't got a thing in front of you. Now when you need me, oh, well, come on, help us. What have you been putting somebody out? And you need some help someday, and that's the only guy going to give it you. Going to make you kind of red in the face, honey. Oh, preach it, Brother Bear. We're getting good now. Hell, oh, yeah. See, I've been used so many times to stabbed in the back, I'm used to it. Oh, sure, I get that. Better go back again. All right, listen. I'm not talking about Lee Dale. I'm sorry I threw that in there, so I talked about myself. Forgive me. Just leave it out. Put it on the tape. And Jephthah said that still the elders of Israel, did you not hate me, expel me out of my father's house? Why are you coming out of here to get some help? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, therefore return to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against children of Ammon, and be the head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Because, buddy, we know you've got something in the place where we want it. But you're still a bastard. Oh, sweet
dove of charity. How I love you.
So, Jephthah said, if you bring me home to fight against the children of Ammon, I can sure do it because I'm a tough cookie. And the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? You're going to start recognizing me? Now, we're going to find out something here. And Jephthah said, the Lord be between us and thee. If you do so according to thy words, we'll sure think better of you. Do me some personal favor, and I'll get there, and I'll get you off the hook. All I have to do to some people and preachers to make them like me. That's why I don't care if they like me or not. I ain't going to try. And if you start doing stuff like that, you're worse than I am. Ingratiate yourself. Fooling. Get down the road by yourself, trusting God. Before it's over, they'll close church doors, and you'll be all alone. And who are you going to fuss at? Who are you going to throw out? Well, you and your wife being two, and just two in that town, where only one can make it, you got to have a fight right there. You won't be able to say, honey, you and I is going to go. But the prophet said one. Well, we is one. Hallelujah. And I'll be too late. You got to fight somebody like that gal down that I told you about her down in this is a true story. It's silly, but it's a true story. She's in Tennessee. And this poor old guy married her because his wife died and he shouldn't have married her because she was really not really bright. And one day he missed her. And she never came home again. Well, so? He goes to Jeff, and there she is in town. He said, honey, why did you leave? Well, she said, I had to for your sake. He said, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said, two be in the bed and one taken, one left, and I didn't want you left. That's a true story. Now, when you can't fuss at somebody else, there's just two, who are you going to fuss at? Who are you going to put out? Now, my wife and I by ourselves there. Well, if she's got to go, that's all there is to it. Funny thing is, I figure I'm the one that's going, she's the one that's going to go out. Now she thinks she's going to stay and I'm going to go up. Well, I ain't going to fight with her. We could both be right. 29 to 40. I ain't through preaching yet. Just meddling. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Hey, that miserable, downtrodden, no good, illegitimate. And passed over Gilead and Manasseh, pastor of Mizpah and so on. Jephthah vowed about the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail give the children of Ammon in my hands, to be the whatever comes out of my door. He said, I'm going to give to the Lord as an offering. So, of course, Jephthah killed the whole bunch. He won the, took over 20 cities. He beat up their vineyards. He beat them up. He took the whole thing over lock, stock, and barrel. Came home, there was his daughter. Now, someone said, well, he killed her. He didn't kill her. They bewailed her virginity. She didn't have a chance of being in the line of Messiah, producing the son. She had to become a temple virgin. Don't tell me they killed her. God was against that. They didn't believe in killing. They wailed her virginity. She became a virgin forever. She couldn't marry. When that's the women are for, marry and bear children. Now, here's this old fella. See? He could never be a part of the congregation. No, sir. Never be a part of the congregation. See? In that temple. Not for 400 years. Yet he was of Israel, for his father was an Israelite. But he could not pattern in the election. He was not numbered with them. Look how he treated them. Well, they did it to him. Now, we're going to go right back to Hebrews. And I think you're catching on fast, aren't you? You're beating me to the punch. Hebrews 11, 31 to 40. By faith, the harlot Rahab prostituted with a lot of men, married a man, and became a forerunner of Jesus Christ. She believed and received the spies. What more shall I say? Time would fail me of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David. You can say what you want. But these are numbered with the heroes of faith. They're shining there in the glory of God. Bastards and whores, I tear out. They were going to the kingdom of heaven ahead of us. But don't give it this Roman Catholic spirit. You leave it my way. And bore in until it drives me come up a wall. Oh, God, can't they leave me alone? I'm a son of God. I believe this message. But you'll bore in to make proselytes. Nobody cares when he sold to Sam, he said. We want to proselytize. So let Gunther's church win them all. And then somebody, you and Brother Branham said, that
Baptists want them all. Methodists want the Baptists. Baptists want the Presbyterians. Presbyterians want the Methodists.
And the Pentecostals want them all, and they're going to get it. And if we keep this, we'll go right back to organization. Huh? I said, you don't know this, but every year I think I preach my swan song sermon. This is it.
God gave me 6 messages for this meeting.
I stayed home 6 solid messages. I preached 2.5. And I said, I'll preach this, though it's out of order, content and everything else. I'll preach it. Because the harlots and the publicans go in ahead of the self-righteous.
He said, "Shine your Abraham seed. God can raise up stones. Yes, you're William Branham's kids. But he can bring in hundreds of young ones. I'm a special Branham kid."
Yeah.
Yeah, Jephthah. Good old Jephthah. Mother a prostitute. Dad, nothing but a licentious bum. Oh, but he could win the temple. Oh, yeah, he could tickle himself with a bee. I believe a certain way. Hallelujah. Who brought that little bastard on earth? Huh? Huh? He didn't get here by himself. Oh, he'll never be in the congregation, but he's with the heroes of faith. Foolish virgins may not be the New Jerusalem, but they're going to be all out there getting all the blessings, the dripping's over, and they'll be very happy because there's no more remembrance. For as in Adam, all died, all are made alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, some were so rich and so full amongst ourselves. I've got it, you don't. The Bible says one day you're going to be cursed and hungry because you say you're full. I am so empty this morning, God's got to do something. You say, "Dale, you sound full." Full of what? Huh? Yeah. Measured. Named with Barak and Samson and David and Samuel. Oh, man. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought rights and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the sword, escaped the edge of the quenched violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of aliens, women received their life, the children back to dead, others tortured, wouldn't accept a pardon or sentence, they wanted a good resurrection, had cruel scourging and so on and so on, and all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, and God provided some good, better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, and there's that bastard, there's that harlot come walking right in saying, "Hallelujah," and us perfect guys down here saying, "Out of the way, you don't belong." What if they came down here and said, "Out of the way, you don't belong"? Oh, I feel kind of happy now because I got the meanness out of my belly. Yeah. Yep. I feel kind of happy now. Delivered my soul. Part of it. Huh? What about you this morning?
Yes.
What about you? What's your genealogy? What's your pedigree? What's the proof you got something? Huh? Huh? What about it? Tell me who you are. What you got? Tell me you're somebody. Go ahead. I'll listen, but not for long. What about him? What about him? Oh, he might not have gotten the temple for 400 years, but the blood covered. Numbered with the heroes of faith. You say the bride's got a certain age. Has she? I doubt very much. I doubt very much. Right there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Paul, and all with Jesus stands these people, foolish virgins and all. And no wonder Brother Branham could say, "All that you loved and all that ever loved you will be there."
He said, you will be there. You're struggling so hard to prove your bride to get old Lee Dale out because he doesn't believe like you, but I'm going to be there because he saw me there. And you're wasting your cotton picking time and running your own self down and acting like a bunch of nuts. Not like Branham kids. You'll be there. And he's got the G's.
Because that's where my husband was and that's where my baby is. Just like Levi on the loins of old Abraham. So she pretended she was a harlot, made herself look real sexy, and was put up her leg, you know, or pulled up her skirt to see the ankle and what have you. And he said, wow! Walked right in intercourse. She said, how about a little pledge or two? Well, he said, that'll be fine. I'll give you a pledge. Well, you come back and redeem with the kids. Yeah, that'll be fine. I'll do that. Take the kid there and whoop, girl's gone. Well, at least I did my best. He sure did. Pretty soon, she begins to show. Thy daughter-in-law Tamar has a baby by her. He said, brother! Get him out of us! Get rid of her! She said, I'll be glad to die. But just first. I am pregnant by the man who owns these tokens. Oh, he said, my dear daughter-in-law. Oh, thou art more righteous than I. Yuck. Gonna kill her with a bastard child. Oh, Well, we all make mistakes, you know. Huh? God, it's nauseating. This is a true record of what God wanted of man and what man wouldn't do. Only God's word could ever have a story like this in it. And her child, which was forbidden to come from her father-in-law, Phares, is in the line of Jesus. So, these foolish virgins, these folk who don't believe like me. And Brother Staple, will you please wait till I knock your chair over? I just love to. We've been friends, but it'd be nice to push you over. You don't believe like me, see? Any blind kids here? Any hungry kids? I'd love to tease you. Hold the carrot in front of your nose and pull back. Come on! Doesn't sound and smell nice when I put it just where it is, does it? But oh, it's so beautiful if I can be so righteous. Yuck. No wonder God vomits. I'm vomiting now. Not looking at you, but looking in my own mirror. To the proudest spirit I say today, come on down. Take to your breast the one you call foolish virgin, for they'll be right there with you. You can't shake them. I didn't get rid of me. Now I know we'd all like to get rid of some of us. In the home, if you don't like ugly fat, you divorce her. If husband's no longer Prince Charming, out he goes. You can't do with God. Uh-uh. Rahab's there. Foxy old Rahab selling her body. Maybe giving a night of pleasure to the spies even. And she said, hey, I've heard about this God. What about it? A harlot can do that? Jesus entertained him. Didn't mess with him. He just entertained him. Treat them good. Woman's the well. What about this God business? Oh, we got a real God. She said, I think you have. I ain't much myself, but I'd sort of like to get in on it. Why, he said, sure you can. Hang that scarlet cord out there. Nothing's going to happen to you and your family. In fact, bring all your friends in if you can get them in. Why, she said, hallelujah. Why, that's sure hallelujah. It's all by grace. Come in, harlots. Come in, Jephthah. Come in, Tamar. Come in, foolish virgin. Oh, glory, hallelujah, Jesus loves you. Well, as Brother Branham said, some people hold their nose so high in the air, if it rained, they'd drown.
Christ born over a manure pile. If you want the real one, get not the church age. Lee Vail had the condensed, but you get the church age as Brother Branham spoke on that. I tried hard to get it one time to just write it up, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It's one of the most beautiful pieces in all human literature. Then we think we're somebody. Remember, two of the 12 disciples wanted to sit on either side of the throne. And God said, you shall sit. Jesus said, but only the Father will place them. See? Now listen, one great company in the future land of the bride and groom and all other virgins and all others are going to be there. They'll make one great body of people. In Philippians, the third chapter, first chapter, 3-7. I thank God always in my remembrance upon you, always in every prayer of mine, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day to now, being come this very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, if God started you by justification, real Holy Spirit work, like Luther, they'll be there. Sanctification under Wesley, they'll be there. Baptism, gifts under Pentecost, they'll be there. If God started the end time work in you, you'll be there. You're not going to miss it. No, sir, it can't fail. For the word of promise has in it the life of the promise. If he started you with repentance and baptism, justification, and you craved and received his sanctification, you might even miss the token. I hope you don't. But, brother, sister, you will still be there. You believe that? I didn't write it. The prophet said, I want to build your faith up. By faith, every one of you is a bride. But if there is even the slightest miscue, you'll still be there. I'm going to lose. He loses none. If you heard his voice from this age, you cannot lose. The sheep hear the voice. All that the Father gives come to him, and none will anywise be cast out. I don't care if you count yourself a Jephthah, you'll still be there. I don't care if you're a Tamar or a Rahab, you'll still be there. For the Holy Ghost has put his hand upon you. Listen to Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them that, and lend hoping for nothing, and your reward should be great, and you should be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And how come so many people amongst us are so evil to us, and we haven't done them any wrong? We just say we believe a thing. Now, I'm hitting this because this is getting worse and worse all over America. It's in Europe. Brother Thurlow was sure it'd never go to Australia and New Zealand. I got news for him. I knew it wouldn't. It is. Now, how much you boast, how much you talk. It's here. Kill that sectarian attitude. It says, because God, who knows the dirty ones and the good ones, is good to both. Well, I'm going to associate with those that think like me. Now, look, I'm human. I know that you naturally will have a better time because you're more in one mind. But Brother Branham said, I like people to disagree because it stirs my thinking up and makes me look at the question again. Branham's kids? Hope so. Psalm 68 and 18. And I told you I'll go for the overkill. So we're going to overkill the whole thing. 68:18, thou hast ascended on high, led captivity captive, received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that God might dwell among them, even amongst the rebellions. Rebellious God is there. And what about everybody trying to be part of this message faithfully? Huh? I hope you're getting a picture here, brother, sister. I do, because I'm preaching the best I can from the bottom of my heart.
We go here, or the top, I don't care which way it goes, long as it's sincere. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 7 and 8, for the earth that drinks in the rain that comes off upon it, brings forth herbs meet for them for whom it's best, receive blessing from God, but that which brings forth thorns and briars rejected and near to burning, I'm trying to show you, God's good to everybody and everything. And when they come up in the judgment, he's going to say, you were good, 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 come on in. Yes, sir. Now, take heart this day and say, I will be there. Because you will be. I can't say I'm bright. I can't prove I'm bright. By grace, I believe I am. But what if I am not? Let's face it. I'll be there. You say, but you won't be there as well as you'd like to be. I'll be there as well as he'd like me to be. Because he said it. Brother Branham kept saying, I don't know. It's election. Will my baby be there? I don't know. It's election. Will my son be there? I don't know. It's election. I don't know. By God's grace, I heard him come down and read the will and tell me all about it. And I sat there. By faith, I've got to believe I'm one of them. But what if I was just called in for a little bit of advice? For the ones that's going to get it, I'll still be there. Do you follow me? Do you follow me? You're going to be there. Let me tell you something flat. Brother Welsh Evans had a boy. And as far as that boy was not living for Christ. I have no idea if he was saved or what. And when he got killed that night, my understanding, Brother Welsh Evans didn't know, but his own boy was under a cloth. And he stood right there and didn't know because the kid was in somebody else's car. When he found out he was so torn up, he went to Brother Branham. And I know one thing. Brother Branham loved Welsh Evans. I suppose he loved few men in the high heaven. And he himself said, I sought heaven, hell, and earth, and the whole spirit world, and I found him. And God said, leave him there. He'll be all right in the second resurrection. You're that I'm preaching this morning. There's a people in between, brother, sister, and God loves them. There's a people in between who have their own elections. They are sons of Adam redeemed by Jesus Christ. They're not in the bride, but they'll be there. Wouldn't you be glad just to be there? Well, you're going to be there. He saw you there. You say, Brother Dale, what about the children? What about my kids? I believe they'll be there. You say, oh, there's a tribulation coming. Listen, the last thing Brother Branham said hit Egypt was a spiritual death, and I can see that death angel coming, and here's a 60-year-old man, the first one, and he's in bed, and I don't see his heart rising. I don't see his stomach turning. I don't hear him screaming. Death just passed in. He closed his eyes. He was gone. I said, the boy over here, tiny little baby. Mother watching, suddenly the kid said, Mama, I don't feel too good. Something funny's happening. Close his eyes, he's gone. Oh, brother, sister, there's a lovely, gentle Jesus. He's not going to hold you here and make you squirm while that devil Church of Rome is purged. If you and I should miss something, I don't believe we are going to be tromped on, stomped on. No, sir, I could be some night our eyes will close, will be gone. Before the rapture, thousands are going to go on one little plague. Oh, brother, sister, listen. Don't confuse God with your own morbid thoughts, your own foolish thinking. Get it out of your mind and see the goodness and beauty of Jesus Christ. Don't look at people around about you. They'll confuse you. Get your eyes on Jesus and His Word this morning. If I got my eyes on myself, I couldn't do a thing. I just have to die. I feel so pitiful and inadequate. But something down inside says he's bigger than all. Yes, sir, you'll be there. Not according to your thinking, not according to your what somebody tries to tell you of Judaism. You'll be there according to him. And you'll be there in his glory. Have you ever read what the resurrection says about you? It's about time you read it this morning. All right, read it. It tells right here. What according to the seed, the thing, you're going to get a body. Now it says there are celestial bodies, celestial glory, celestial one glory, celestial another. One glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, one glory of the star, and each star differs, so is the resurrection. But you'll be there. You'll be there. You say, Brother Dale, but I want all kinds of rewards. Take them with you, honey. Lay up your treasure. I've been teaching, trying to teach all week long. Systematically start doing it. Listen, brother, sister, catch the picture this morning, and it won't be funny anymore saying, he's fully virgin. You don't believe like that.
You'll stop boring in trying to convince people you have the answers. You know something, let me tell you something? A lot of folk don't want them. You know why? Because they feel they got answers from God themselves. They feel this is a one-to-one. Come on. Come on, can everybody get down this morning? You know why the other day I said, have you got in your heart something just that you can take a deep breath and open those arms and just take that fella in? I find it so hard. I got such an awful nature. I was hurt so much as a kid. All I wanted as a kid is, I didn't want thanks, just wanted to be nice to people. But they made sure they kicked me right in the teeth every time they could. Now I got a nature. But just the same, I'd like to just take every person in and every stray dog and every stray cat. You know something? It would take more than 40 miles of elbow room to the pearly gate to take my glories in, brother, sister. One gate would not be enough. Can you let your heart down this morning? Or will you? Will you let your spirits down this morning? It's hard. We've been so taught this message, that we forget there is a life, sweet, holy dove life. Huh? What makes the daughter say to her mother, mother, you won't make it, you don't believe like me. Daughter, you ain't going to make it. You're not careful. Son, you ain't going to make it, you're not careful. Father, mother, you won't make it, God changed that spirit. You've got to be a different spirit. Let that great dynamism of the Holy Ghost break through us. Why aren't there like popcorn amongst us people getting healed? It's doing that in denominations. And people who haven't got enough of this so-called smartness to fight each other. Right? And is it worth it to let your hair down this morning? Is it worth to say, by the grace of God, everybody's got it and I got it too? See, well, there's a difference. Hallelujah. Thank God for difference. Why'd you marry your wife? Because she's different. Huh? Why'd you love Jesus? Because he's different. Boy, if he wasn't different from me, forget it. I can't stand myself. You think I can stand Jesus? You think he can stand me? Yep. He's good at that. He practices it. He made his life a purpose of that end. He can do it just like nothing. He loves me. He forgives me? Oh, I know he does, because by now he'd kill me. Huh? What about you? Hey? Foolish virgin. No, there's a vast company. And in his glory they'll shine, for they shall be like him, wondrous like him, Jesus the Savior divine. I will be there. It's settled. None can move me. By thoughts of grace I see my name in all names in that open book of redemption, and I believe I'm part of that bride with all the others, and if they don't go, I don't want to go. Moses had the spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, God said, Moses, sick and tired, I'll kill them all and take you. He said, oh, hold it, Lord, hold it. If they don't go, I don't want to go. But we got to jump ahead of Moses. We say, if they go, I don't want to go. They ain't going to need. Huh? No, forget it. One thing for sure, I am part of that throng that John saw and Brother Branham saw. And my children are there with me. Yep. I've come to stand with Abraham in there in the days of Sodom when Christ appeared. And Abraham prayed and said, oh God, for 10 you wouldn't destroy. There aren't 10 down there, Lord, thinking like me. I don't think so. But for 10, he said, no, I'll never destroy them with the wicked. And neither will God destroy this people with the wicked. I don't care what your thoughts are, brother, sister. God cannot do anything but just. Amen. It's the harlot church that's going to be person. So what's God going to do with it? If a lot of us were that virgin class, I don't know and I don't care. I only know his grace is sufficient. I'll be there. You'll be there. Now I hope you see I'm not trying to make you doubt, lose your faith, or call yourself anything but bride. I'm trying to show his grace that many people are forgetting all about. He has not brought you thus far to lose you. As Brother Brown said, I, the Lord, have found a water, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. He said, it's not going to happen. He said, I saw you there. Do you believe the prophet? Amen. But he said, he saw you there. Amen. And now there was no conjecture, no mysticism. He saw you there. But you kept word came back to him, because thou hast made the precise decision the hard way, there remains a great portion. Now, brother, sister, listen, we're going to make it. That's foregone conclusion. No problem. Now, I know you're sitting there, you don't believe me, but you better believe me because I'm right, because the Bible's right. The prophet can't lie. You're going to make it. Will you have rewards? That's up to you. Make your decision today. There'll be a lot of heaven away in you. Listen, he has brought you thus far. He will not lose you. The good work he started in you by the shout, which is the gathering together, will carry to the trumpet and to the new Jerusalem. Now some may worry about the future days ahead. Don't worry. Leave the unknown future in the Father's hands. Don't look back. Don't look forward. Just remember today he saw me there. I don't care what my past is. I've seen the record. Nothing but grace. Every time God passed the law, they broke it. And every time wondrous grace came forward and restored the lost sons to God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Forget looking. Just look to him. Huh? That's right. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Okay.